same. It's been a while, but I'm finding my faith. If everything's good and it's great, why do I sit and wait till it's gone? Oh, I tell you, I know I've got enough. I've got peace and I've got love, but I'm up at night thinking I just might lose it all. You, I need you, oh God. I need these beautiful things that I've got.
Ironbirds fans, come get festive with us for this year's Fall Park Fun Fest at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Tickets start at only $15 and include all activities from tractor hay rides to kids zone fun to pumpkin decorating and more. No fall event is complete without festive food options from our ballpark concessions or seasonal cocktails from Blackbird Bar. Trick-or-treating, axe throwing, rock climbing, tractor rides, kids zone, cornhole, giant Jenga, and face painting will be available. Scan the QR code on the video board now and get your tickets. And welcome to the Fall Park Fun Fest 2024.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for the hottest pregame show in minor league baseball. It's the Air Show, starring Michael, Mark Antonini, Carson, and Ray. Let's send it down to the field for today's show.
Hey, what's going on, Ironbirds fans? Michael, Mark Antonini, Ray Atkinson, and Carson Ware down here on the field as we get set for the finale of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Greenville Drive. Well, Ray, it was another tough loss for the Ironbirds last night, but this team never quits. They're never out of it. They made a big comeback in the ninth inning last night. They fell 5-3, but it was really exciting to see the bats wake up, the pitching continue to do its thing, and hoping for a win here today on a nice Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that ninth inning was absolutely exciting. exciting last night. I've never really seen anything like that where it came all the way from behind from a five-run deficit, loading the bases up, and you all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, a base hit is going to win this, and it almost did. It was an incredible sight to behold last night.
Yeah, I think it just shows the resilience of this club here in Aberdeen. This team, like I said, is never out of it, and these guys are grinding out at-bats, finding ways to score runs, and the pitching, of course, always keeping them in it. So let's get into a recap of last night's game. The Drive picked up the 5-3 win, but it started with the pitching, and the pitching has continued to be really solid for the Birds. Edgar Portes went four innings, did not allow a run. He put up a season-high 8 strikeouts, which also ties his career high. He was really good, Ray.
That he was, and he's been setting the standard as well for Ironbird starters. Edgar Portes, this, and pretty much this entire series, Ironbird starters have just been absolutely solid, and you couldn't ask for better production for your starting rotation.
So we'll talk a little bit about more him in just a minute, but let's talk about what happened offensively for the Birds last night. Well, Jake Cunningham had his third three-hit game in just five games at high A. He went 3-for-3 and also walked and drove in another run. And then Anudis Mordaunt picked up his first two extra base hits at high A. He went 2-for-4 and plated one of those runs in the ninth inning, so it's nice to see those guys swinging the bat. And like I said, Ray, I think it was just an exciting ninth inning, even though the Birds didn't come up with the win. They made things happen, and they gave themselves a chance.
That could be a nice turnaround here for the back part of the season, especially when you're going in a playoff race. I feel like a game like last night is what they needed to wake the bats up, and they woke up in quite a big way.
Yeah, so I mentioned we're going to talk a little bit more about Edgar Portes, so let's get into another player spotlight here on the air show. Well, with his 8 strikeouts last night, Edgar Portes is up to 110 punch-outs on the season, which is good for second most in the entire South Atlantic League. He's striking out almost 12 batters per 9 innings, and he has a strikeout rate just under 30% on the season. Ray, he's holding opponents to a .213 batting average, and the swinging strikeout rate is at almost 16%, so this guy just continues to miss bats, weak contact when the ball does get hit off the bat, and he has been so good and consistent for this Ironbirds team.
And when you look at that strikeout rate, especially the fact that he's going during just under 12 strikeouts per 9 innings, he's pretty much striking out half of his outs. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and he's just straight up getting it done. So before we wrap up this pregame show, we're going to throw it to our guy Carson to let us know what's going on at the ballpark today and the rest of this homestand, which is going to continue next week. So Carson, take it away.
Yep, that's right. This homestand is not over. They've got another series against Winston-Salem starting this week, Wednesday. Snapchat, less likes, more love night. It's a giveaway. Come out and get something free. And then your other home team, the Oat Milkers, will take the field on Thursday and some special jerseys. Come see that. Friday and Saturday, we both got fireworks on those nights. Friday's Harry Potter night. I'll have my wand. Bring yours, too. Saturday, another installment of the Zorballs Tournament of Champions. Come see some past winners compete against each other for a chance to win a 4K TV. Very exciting stuff. One more spot is available in that as well. So if we get a big winner today, you could enter the tournament. And then Sunday, of course, another Sunday family fun day. Kids run the bases, all that fun stuff. And one final thing, if you weren't here last night, the Star Wars night jerseys were awesome. I was wearing one. The team looked great in them. Well, we're auctioning them off. Check out the website. Get your bids in. Pick one up. Thanks, guys. Let's have a great day.
All right, Carson, appreciate you giving us the run down there. Well, Ray, the Birds are playing as the Oat Milkers next week. Don't forget to bring the cereal. I'm gonna text you to remind you.
Yeah, I'm going to bring sure to bring some good old-fashioned do they still make Cocoa Puffs? I guess I'll give some of those, right?
All right, I like it. Well, he's Ray Atkinson. We just heard from Carson Ware. My name is Michael Marcantonini. Thanks for tuning in, Ironbirds fans. Another fun edition of the Air Show. Let's have some fun on the broadcast coming up at 2:05 p.m. Let's have some fun. Let's hopefully get a W. And, Ray, as always, let's fly.
Settling down, would you marry me? If I ask you twice and beg you pretty please, she'd have said yes in a New York minute. They never tied a knot, his heart wasn't in it. He just stole a kiss as he rode away. He never hung his hat up at Kitty's place.
I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. Wearing my six-shooter, riding my
pony. Hard fans, it's time for this afternoon's first pitch. My new buddy Ryan Foltz is here on the mound. Ryan, take your time. It is your pitch. I like that other shirt he's got on, fans. Give it up for him. Pretty good form. Jack, nice catch back there. Thank you so much. Give it up for Ryan.
I had a sidekick with a funny name, running wild through the hills, chasing Jesse James, ending up on the brink of danger, riding shotgun for the Texas Rangers. Go West, young man, haven't you been told? California's full of whiskey.
It's another great day for a ball game here in Aberdeen, Maryland, as we get set to play the finale of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Greenville Drive. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Mark Cantonini, the voice of the Ironbirds, live from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Tough series so far for these birds. Greenville leads the series with a 4-1 record in the six games so far this week. They have taken each of the last four games after the birds took the series opener on Tuesday. But the birds are looking to get back in the win column here today. The Ironbirds come into today's game 57-56 overall. They are 23-24 in the second half, just 2.5 games out of a playoff spot. On the flip side, the Greenville Drive sit at 54-59 overall. They are 28-19 in the second half. They are hanging strong in second place in the South Atlantic League South Division. Well, before I get to the starting lineups and the pitching matchup and introduce my guest on today's broadcast, I'm going to play my interview with Ironbirds infielder Noelberth Romero talking about something that he did a couple weeks ago with the Bowie Bay Sox, hitting two walk-offs in one day in a doubleheader, and also talking about his journey to the United States, learning English from starting in the Red Sox organization, coming over to the Orioles organization. Really fun conversation. I really appreciate Noelberth taking the time for the interview, especially to do this interview in English, his second language. So before we go any further, here is my conversation with Ironbirds infielder Noelberth Romero. Michael Mark Cantonini back here on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. I've got Ironbirds infielder Noelberth Romero joining me on the pregame show. Noelberth, thank you for taking the time to do this interview.
Thank you. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you here. And you're always smiling in the dugout, out on the field, joking around with the guys. Great to have you on the program. I got to ask you about hitting two walk-offs on the same day in Bowie last week. A doubleheader in Bowie, walk-off homer, and then a walk-off hit. How did it feel to do that?
That feel amazing. I mean, it's one of the best things that I ever do in my career. So that was a special moment for me. It was a special moment for the team. It was a special moment for my teammates. And that made me happy. Watching them, like, being happy for me, that was amazing for me. I really appreciate that.
So you got to celebrate out on the field with the team, the guys attacking you after the win, celebrating. What did it feel like to have that happen twice in one day?
It's just what I say. It's like special, something that you never think on that. Like, I never think on that before. So that just happened when I was on the box the second game. I was like, can you imagine doing that? So work hard for do that. And the results come to me, and I just want to say thanks, God. You know, it's a pleasure being in that position.
Yeah. Well, I know we've talked a lot throughout this season in English. Your English is fantastic for somebody who's not from the United States, and it's not your first language. Did you know any English before you came over to professional baseball with the Red Sox and then the Orioles?
No. No, I started speaking English or learn English in Red Sox, yeah. And then when I trade here, Anaima was the person that helped me more than, I mean, a lot with my English here in Orioles. And I need to give her credit for my English. It's good for her.
Well, you were the first graduate of the Orioles education program. When you graduated last year, what did that mean to you and your family?
That mean a lot. That mean a lot. You know that my mind, or normal person that play baseball, the mind is in baseball. But I took my off season to do that, to get that step. And was amazing, man. Was amazing. I need to mention Anaima again, because she was the girl that she told me, hey, but you can do it. You can do it in the off season. So it's just 6 months. And I said, yeah, let's do it. And my mom, my dad, they so happy for me. And I was happy too at that point. And now I can say that I play baseball, but I graduate too. So that means a lot.
That's awesome, man. Incredible stuff. I got to ask you about your friendship with Elio Prado. You guys are both from Venezuela. You met at training camp before you were signed by the Red Sox. and then you came over in the same trade to the Orioles organization. What does the friendship with Elio mean to you?
It's mean a lot. I mean, we're more than a friends, we're brothers. So he's a person that I can say is like that person that support you every time, no matter what. He's there for any moment. If I need to call him 2 a.m. because I'm feeling bad, he's gonna be there, and me too for him. So it's a great relationship. I mean, when I go back to Venezuela, I spend a lot of time with him, training, messing around, whatever, with him every time, and that's, he's my brother.
I love it. Well, tell me about some of your favorite foods from your native Venezuela. What do you like to eat back home?
Perro caliente. That's okay. Hot dog.
Hot dog.
It's a little bit different, but I love it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I've got Ironbirds infielder Noelbert Romero joining me on the pregame show. Noelbert, thank you for your time. Gracias por su tiempo for this interview, esta entrevista. Y continue your success. Continue a tu éxito.
Thank you. Hey, your Spanish is good.
Yeah, I got to keep practicing, man.
Thank you.
Muchas gracias, hermano.
Yeah, thank you.
So there's my interview with Ironbirds infielder Noelbert Romero. Got to practice my Spanish a little bit at the end of that interview. Noelbert has been great for me. I've practiced my Spanish with him a little bit during batting practice, getting a chance to talk to him, and he told me, you know, he's here to help. He wants to help, which I really appreciate. So a really fun interview with him. I thank him for doing that in Spanish. In English, even though Spanish is his native language. So that was really cool. Before we go any further, we are going to pause for the national anthem here in Aberdeen as we get set for game 6 of 6 between the Birds and the Drive. We are just about ready for baseball here in Aberdeen, Maryland. Game 6 of 6 between the Ironbirds and the Drive. The Drive have already grabbed the series victory with wins in the last 4 games this week. But the Birds are looking to finish the series strong and go into next week's home series against the Winston-Salem Dash with a win under their belts. Well, right-hander Tyler Burch, who is making a rehab appearance here today for the Ironbirds, gets the start. He is making his season debut as he works his way back from an injury. On the flip side, the Drive will counter with left-hander Dalton Rogers. So while Tyler Burch throws his warm-up tosses, let's get the starting lineups in today's game. First for the Ironbirds, leading off at second base, Aaron Estrada, batting second in left field, Tomas Sosa. Elio Prado is the center fielder. He bats third. Creed Willems, the first baseman, is in the four hole. Carter Young's at third base. He bats fifth. Leandro Arias, the shortstop, bats sixth. Anudis Mordaunt doing the catching in the seven hole. Douglas Hoda III is in right field batting eighth and rounding out the lineup batting ninth. It's Noelbert Romero. On the flip side for the Drive, leading off at second base, Andy Lugo batting second, the center fielder Miguel Blase. Zach Earhart's in right field, he bats third. Brian Gonzalez, the first baseman, is in the four hole. Hudson White doing the catching batting fifth. Eduardo Lopez, the DH, bats sixth. Juan Chacon in left field batting seventh. Framy De Leon, the shortstop, hits eighth. And Juan Montero, the designated hitter, is batting ninth. Birch continuing his warm-up tosses, and while he does that, I want to introduce my guest in the booth here today. 4 straight guests over the last 4 days here in Aberdeen, and it's my pleasure to welcome from Glenn Clark Radio and Press Box Online, also does some stuff with 105.7 The Fan, a busy guy, Mr. Griffin Bass. Griffin, thanks for taking the time to join me today.
No problem, Mike. Really appreciate the invite. There's not many better places on a Sunday afternoon than the baseball diamond, and I'm really looking forward to some good ball ahead today.
Absolutely. You know, nothing better than a day at the ballpark. We were a little bit worried about today's game with some rain in the forecast, but it is dry and we are playing some baseball. So here is the right-hander Tyler Burch ready to start off the afternoon. His first pitch is a fly ball to deep left field. Sosa is there, and he makes the catch. One up, one down on one pitch. Good start for Burch, who is a 6'2 right-hander, 26 years old, in what is now his fifth pro season. He is on a rehab assignment here from AA Bowie, looking to get back to Bowie, where he spent each of the last two seasons. He was originally signed as an undrafted free agent by the Philadelphia Phillies back in 2019, and he was traded to the Orioles at the deadline in July of 2021 in an exchange for shortstop Freddie Galvis. So he has been a part of the O's organization since 2021 and now has the count 0-1 of the two-hole hitter Miguel Blaze. So Lugo went down on one pitch, and now the count's quickly 0-2. That's a pretty good start, Griffin, for Burch. One pitch, one out, and then goes 0-2 on the next hitter.
Absolutely, and probably a big sigh of relief with those first couple of pitches as well. You mentioned working his way back from injury almost a year to the day since his last time he threw a pro pitch. August 11th was his last outing with Bowie. That was August 11th of 2023. So a year and a week, 53 weeks since the last time he was on the rubber.
Injuries are part of the game, so it's great to see him back out there healthy, working his way back up the system. 0-2 skips it in the dirt in front of Mordan, and the count is 1-2. Well, we'll talk about it throughout the broadcast, Griffin, but I mentioned right before the game started, you do a lot of work with Glenn Clark Radio, Press Box Online, some stuff with 105.7 The Fan. You do a lot of freelance play-by-play in the general Maryland DMV area. Here's the 1-2 from Burch. Just missed off the plate. It's 2-2, so... like I said, busy guy. I mean,
yeah.
Like we all are working in this industry.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, just a sports fan, and yeah. And it's been nice to, you know, work my way up the professional ladder here.
2-2 from Burch, fouled back. Well, you're from not too far away from here. I know you told me a little bit over an hour away.
Mm-hmm, that's correct. Carroll County, it's about directly west from here, just outside Westminster. And, grew up an O's fan. I'm a homer. Baltimore through and through.
Two-strike pitch sent to shallow center. Here comes Prado, and he makes the grab on the run. Two up, two down for Burch.
So always enjoy being able to watch any Orioles-affiliated team. I got to see the Shorebirds a couple weeks ago. Seeing a few familiar faces in the lineup today. And good start so far for the Ironbirds. Burch seems to be settled in. If he was nervous at all, he doesn't look it right now.
Two quick outs, a flyout and a lineout, left then center. Now Burch looking for a 1-2-3 frame in his 2024 season debut. First pitch to Zach Earhart. The right fielder misses a little bit low. And the count is 1-0. Umpires in today's ballgame. It is Brian DeBrower behind the dish and Tatum Littleton on the bases. The count is 1-0 on Earhart, who is in right field today after DHing last night. He singled and walked last night. Next pitch is in there for a strike. Well, when guys are on a rehab assignment, the main goal is to get them through the game healthy, and the results really don't mean a whole lot. It's just about them going through their process. But right now, I mean, we're seeing a guy who's healthy, process looks good, and he's getting the early results, another strike there.
Yeah, seems to be hitting his spots here as well. Few called strikes, and another two-strike count for him as well.
So a ball and two strikes on Earhart. Burch out of the windup, next pitch. Called strike three, low and outside corner. And it's a 1-2-3 top of the first inning for Tyler Burch. We'll see if he goes back out for a second. You never know with these rehab assignments, but a really strong season debut for Tyler Burch to start off that top of the first. No runs, no hits, no errors. No one reached. We'll head to the bottom of the first. No score here in Aberdeen. Stay locked in on MILB TV and Bally Live. We'll be right back. We move to the home half of the first inning here from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. No score after a 1-2-3 top of the first inning from right-hander Tyler Birch, who made his season debut here today in Aberdeen, working his way back from an injury that has kept him out all season so far. So it's good to see Birch working his way back from that 60-day IL stint. And now here is Aaron Estrada from the right side to face the left-hander Dalton Rogers. First pitch is in for a strike, and the count is 0-1. Estrada, then Tomas Sosa and Elio Prado. Birds get another southpaw on the mound for Greenville. Back-to-back lefties, swing and a miss there. Good changeup down in the zone. Estrada has moved all over the diamond this season. He's played six different positions between low A and high A this year. He's playing left field last night at second base today. 0-2 downstairs, 1-2.
Hopefully gets one at some point today and a chance to show off the speed. That's another thing that I guess Aberdeen has been missing in the last couple weeks. Obviously, I'm sure you've documented it well throughout the season, just how ferocious they've been on the base paths when they get on. Hopefully Estrada can bring some of that back after coming up from Delmarva.
1-2 pitch fouled away, and yeah, it's a great point you make. And this team all season long has had speed, athletic players who can swipe bags, but within the last couple weeks, Enrique Bradfield Jr., who was second in all of minor league baseball in stolen bases, along with Tavian Josenberger and Reed Trimble, all going up to Double A. That's almost 150 stolen bags between them that is gone now. Chopped out to short. De Leon has it on two hops. Low throw to first. It's offline, and it's by Gonzalez. So Estrada is safe on the throwing error from Framie De Leon. So a leadoff base runner for the Birds. The Greenville defense has been off at times. They had a game earlier this series in which they made four errors. And that brings up Tomas Sosa.
And the key for Greenville, obviously, not to let those errors spiral, which it sounds like they can allow to happen at times.
Short lead at first for Estrada. Double play depth up the middle for the drive. Rogers looks over at first, now to the plate. First pitch to Tomas. Misses high, counts 1-0. Dalton Rogers stands 5 feet 11 inches tall. He is 23 years old in his third pro season. He was a third-round pick of the Red Sox in 2022 out of Southern Mississippi. He's from Brandon, Mississippi. 0-1 off the hand. Sosa fouls it back. It's 0-2.
So certainly a prospect that the Red Sox, I'm sure, have a lot of confidence in, especially taking that early in a draft back in 2022, a third-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's big time. You know, you go in the top five rounds. I mean, that is premier elite talent. Part of a really strong Southern Miss program. 0-2 pitch coming up. First, a move over to first, and Estrada's back. He was not teammates with Matthew Etzel at Southern Miss, but he was teammates with Reed Trimble during their time at Southern Miss. He just missed Etzel, who was with the Ironbirds earlier this year and now is with the Rays organization, but Trimble just sent up to Double-A. These two guys shared the field at one point. Estrada takes off for second. 0-2 fouled back. Well, there it is, Griffin. We see Estrada going in motion there with the count 1-2. And man, it's fun to watch him run when he gets the chance.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Picking his spots wisely there, trying to find a good two-strike pitch, especially in what is a pitcher's count right now. Potentially want to try to go on a breaking ball. That time Sosa had to fight it off.
1-2 again, swing and a miss. So Sosa down on strikes. That is out number one. Let's set the defense for Greenville as Prado comes up. Hudson White is catching for Rogers. In the infield, it's Juan Montero at third, Framie De Leon at short, Andy Lugo at second, and Brian Gonzalez at first. In the outfield, Juan Chacon in left, Miguel Blaise in center, and Zach Earhart in right. One out, one on. Here's Elio Prado, the center fielder. No score, bottom of the first inning. Prado hacks at the first pitch, fouls it off to the right side. And the count is 0-1. On the season, Rogers appearing in his 18th game. This is his 16th start. He has a 5.35 ERA in 65 and two-thirds innings of work. 68 strikeouts, 43 walks. Opponents hitting .247 against him, and he has fanned just over 9 batters per 9 innings.
Yeah, strong strikeout numbers for Rogers, but it's been a little bit up and down. Only went 3 innings in his last outing. That was a start a week ago.
Estrada takes off again. Pitch, swing and a miss, and Estrada is safe at second. So the count is 0-2 on Prado.
Good pitch to go on as well for Estrada. Unfortunately, another strike on Prado here, but Estrada doing whatever he can to help his teammates out here, putting himself in scoring position.
Well, you were talking about it in terms of picking the spots to go. You want to go in that pitcher's count, maybe see you go on a breaking ball, and he got a good pitch to run on there, had a good jump, and now count is 0-2 on Prado with one out. Estrada, big secondary, Prado takes high. Well, Prado can spray the ball all over the diamond. He has a lot of room to work with on the right side because the second baseman, Lugo, is keeping Estrada close, shading up the middle. And there is also a massive gap in right center as Blaise, who is playing deep center, and Erhard playing straightaway right. We'll just kind of let him have that.
Yeah, Prado can find a way to drive this one the opposite way. Estrada will likely score very easily.
A single, unless it's hit right at an outfielder, should score Estrada. Now Prado fouls another one away.
Good fight here from Prado.
Griffin, the Birds could really use a first-inning run. It's been tough for them scoring early in games. They didn't score until the fifth inning yesterday, shut out the night before, didn't score until the eighth inning the night before that, and didn't score the night before that. So a first-inning run would be huge as Prado tips one into the glove of the catcher, White. That's the second out. The earliest the Ironbirds have scored in a game this series was the second inning on Tuesday. So
yeah.
Back-to-back strikeouts for Rogers.
That's what can make it so helpful to have a good leadoff hitter, like especially one that once they get on, you know that it's only a matter of time before they move themselves up into scoring position. So Estrada definitely putting some pressure on the defense as well, putting some pressure on the pitcher, Rogers.
Here's Creed Willems, swings at the first pitch and grounds it foul over towards the Birds' dugout. Count is 0-1. Griffin, you mentioned the last outing for Rogers. He gave up 7 hits in 3 innings of work on the 11th at Winston-Salem. Only gave up 2 earned runs in that game. We'll see if the Birds can string some hits together and get the bats going. Big secondary for Estrada. He stays put, breaking ball low and away. Counts 1-1, but an encouraging 9th inning comeback for the Birds last night that fell short. But they entered the bottom of the 9th down 5-1, and the winning run was on base at one point in the 9th inning last night. So it was a very strong rally to try to come back and tie or win that game in the 9th.
Yeah, hopefully they can carry some of that momentum over here into today.
Willems hits one way up in the air, deep right field. Erhard drifting back. He's at the wall. He's at the track, and he comes a step in to make the catch on the track. Well, the wind did not help Willems there. That ball just kind of died as it went up in the air. So 3 straight outs after the leadoff error. And the Birds leave one in scoring position. No score after one here in Aberdeen. Michael Marcantonini and Griffin Bass with you on the broadcast. Stay locked in with us as we go to the top of the second here on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the second here from Aberdeen, Maryland. Michael Marcantonini and Griffin Bass with you on the call today. A Sunday afternoon in the Dean as the Birds look to finish off this series with a W. Right-hander Tyler Birch is done. He threw 12 pitches, 9 strikes in a 1-2-3 top of the first in his season debut, working his way back from injury. And now it's right-hander Trey Gibson in relief. He'll look to give the Birds some bulk innings. He started Tuesday's game and was really good. So he is on for the second time this series to face the drive. He gets first baseman Brian Gonzalez, and he misses up and in to start. So it's Gonzalez, then Hudson White, and Eduardo Lopez. Gibson, 22 years old, from Newport News, Virginia, stands 6 feet 5 inches tall. Played his college ball at Liberty. 1-0, breaking ball off the plate. He's got five pitches to work with, a fastball, a cutter, a sweeper, a curveball, and a changeup. And he mixes them really well. The curveball really stands out. Some nasty break, almost like a 12-6. 2-0, fouled back, it's 2-1.
Yeah, looks like we just saw it right there. Looking forward to seeing how he mixes it up here today. Always nice when you have a big arsenal to work with. Helps keep the hitters really on their toes. And allows you to work back into counts as well.
2-1, fouled back, it's 2-2. Mid to upper 90s fastball. This is a guy who has really caught some eyes and turned some heads throughout this season, starting with low A Delmarva and working his way up to high A Aberdeen. This is just his sixth appearance with Aberdeen. But in his last three games, he has a 3.08 ERA with 15 strikeouts and only five walks. And that one shot up the first baseline into foul ground. It's a fair ball, though, and it goes all the way into the right field corner. Gonzalez around second. He's thinking three, and he gets in there, and he's out. The relay throw from the Birds got him. Hodo to Estrada to Young, and an extra base hit turns into an out for the Ironbirds here in the top of the second, so Gibson will take that.
Yeah, great turn defensively by the Ironbirds. That was hit really, if you're Gonzalez, you don't want to put that ball anywhere else. That was went into the corner, rattled around a little bit. Hodo took a while to get over to that one, but yeah, perfect. A perfectly executed relay with Estrada in the middle there at the shortstop and a great tag by Carter Young at third base.
That was a really aggressive play there, trying to stretch two into three, especially to start the inning. Here's a swing and a miss from Hudson White.
I don't mind that as well if I'm Greenville. He was around second base right as Hodo was getting to the ball. It took a perfect relay, and that's exactly what the Ironbirds delivered. So sometimes you just got to tip your cap.
Another outfield assist for Doug Hodo. 0-1 pitch, swing and a miss. So Gibson goes back and gets the first two across to White. But I think everybody just kind of assumed that Gonzalez was going to be in there. Because, like you said, it really took that perfect relay.
I was assuming it was going to be in there. That was a really great throw. I was not expecting that from Hodo and Estrada.
Well, what I noticed was Carter Young came up in front of the bag a little bit to receive that throw. And I think that's what made the difference when he applied the tag. If he had waited back and kind of straddled the bag.
If he kind of deked him out a little bit. Yeah, you're right. That was great. Great play all around by all three guys involved.
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Gibson. Got him. Fastball up top. And it's two outs here in the top of the second. Let's quickly set the defense for the Ironbirds. Anudis Mordaunt is catching today with Carter Young at third, Leandro Arias at short, Aaron Estrada at second, and Creed Willems at first. In the outfield, Tomas Sosa in left, Elio Prado in center, and Douglas Hodo the third in right. He just picked up a big outfield assist. A leadoff double from Gonzalez, but he was cut down trying to stretch two into three. Now a strikeout for Gibson. And now Lopez swings at the first pitch, sends it to left center. Here comes Prado. He lays out, and he made the catch. Elio Prado covering ground out there in center. And Trey Gibson faces the minimum three batters in the top of the second. How about that play right there?
Perfect jump by Prado in center field there. Reacted right as the ball came off the bat. And, makes a great play. Stealing a couple outs in the second inning, the Ironbirds are. And they'll try to get the bats going here in the bottom half of the inning.
Birds defense doing its thing. Like Griffin said, we'll see if the bats can do their thing next. No score after an inning and a half. Bottom two after this on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. We'll be right back. Bottom of the second from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Carter Young, Leandro Arias, and Anudis Mordaunt leading things off for the Birds. In a scoreless game, left-hander Dalton Rogers back to work for the drive. First pitch to Young, and this is interesting right here. Carter Young is a switch hitter, and he is batting left-handed against left-handed pitcher Dalton Rogers. So that's the first time that I've seen that this season with Aberdeen. But here we've got it, abandoning the switch hitting mindset here as he swings over that 1-0 pitch. It's 1-1. Not something I expected to see today.
No, always cool, though, to come out to the ballpark, obviously, especially at this level. You never know what guys are working on. They're always going to be trying different things at this level between all the minor leagues, really. And, we'll see if Carter Young can see if he can't find something to work. Obviously, we've seen it work in the Orioles system before. Cedric Mullins, a first example that comes to mind, a switch hitter, and then he decided to stick with the left-handed hitting, and it paid out big dividends later the last couple seasons.
1-2 pitch to Young, just missed. A good take there, so the count is 2-2. Let's take a look at the splits for Carter Young this season. He's batting .214 against right-handed pitching, so from the left side, .136 against left-handed pitching from the right side. So,
he really
better splits against left-handed pitching, or excuse me, again when he's batting lefty, which is normally against right-handed pitching. So, I mean, when a switch hitter does this, it just screws all the numbers up. I mean, now we
have to add another category of the splits. You know, left-handed batter against left-handed pitching,
right, which is nice that like Baseball Reference and the MLB Stats Portal has that. 3-2 pitch. Popped up, shallow center. Is that going to drop? It will. And Carter Young has a left-on-left base hit. So, I mean,
looks like it's working so far. Yeah. Compare 1,000 to 136. I'm sure they like that. Obviously, maybe not hit as hard as you typically want a ball coming off the bat, especially at this day and age of analytics when we're talking about launch angle and exit velo. But a hit is a hit.
I'll have to talk to him about that this coming week. But hey, something's working. Maybe he sees the ball. He's seen a little ball a little bit better that way. Here's Leandro Arias, another switch hitter. He is batting right-handed, though, against the left-hander Rogers. Count is 0-1. Young at first after the bloop single to center. Birds looking to strike first in this one. No score, bottom two.
Healthy lead from Young over at first base.
Now move over to first. Well, we have seen Rogers move over to first quite a bit. That's at least his third move over to first so far.
And it's definitely, I'm sure, something that gets highlighted in the opposing team's scouting report coming in. You know, you're going up against a team that's stolen over 300 bases, albeit, you know, probably more than half of those have exited the team in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But still, you know, it's just kind of the mentality that that really the Orioles organization has. We talked about it between the innings. You know, they try to find the best athletes they can and bring those guys into the system. And when you have really good athletes like that, it's easy to go ahead and give them the green light.
Counts 0-2 on Arias. Yeah, you got shortstops all over the infield. You've got center fielders manning all three spots in the outfield. Tapper in front of the mound. It goes off to the first base side. The catcher, White, slid for it, couldn't pick it up, and everybody's safe. An infield hit for Arias. Looked like a little miscommunication between Rogers and White, but to be honest, Griffin, even if somebody had picked that one up cleanly, I don't know that they get him there.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that's back-to-back base hits now. I guess we'll go ahead and rule that one a base hit. Back-to-back base hits, really weak contact from Rogers, but they're just finding the right spots. And two runners on for the Ironbirds with nobody out. And hopefully they can try to get the offense going earlier in the ballgame than they have recently.
Here's Anudis Mordaunt, who hit three really hard-hit balls last night. One was a line out that turned into a double play. Runner takes off for third. That's Young. Throw goes into left field. Young gets up. He's heading home. He's in to score. And Arias picks up second on the throwing error by the catcher, White. 1-0 Ironbirds as they take their first lead since Tuesday's series opener.
And that is why you just sometimes let these guys do what they do best. You know, speed can kill. And it looks like it was going to be a stolen base anyway. And every now and then you get the added bonus of, you know, the other team just can't make a play, and Ironbirds steal a run there.
Greenville's second error of the game. It's 1-0 Aberdeen here in the bottom of the second. Still no outs. Runner at second for Mordaunt, who doubled home a run in the ninth inning last night, the second of his two doubles. Fouls one back. This is a guy who looks pretty locked in at the dish right now. His first AB last night, he hit one of the three hardest hit balls of the night, but it turned into a line-out double play. But then in his third and fourth ABs, doubles to left center.
This is a guy with some serious pop. Picked up his first two extra base hits and his first RBI at high A last night after picking up his first high A hit the previous night. Count is 0-2 with Arias at second. Young just helped the Birds steal a run. He took off for third, had a huge jump, got there safely, and then scored on the throwing error into left field.
Yeah, a lot of pressure on Rogers right now because he really hasn't done too much wrong this inning. Just two really weak hit balls that landed in spots that were really hard to defend, and then a throwing error from his catcher led to the first run of the ball game.
1-2 in the dirt. It gets away from White. A wild pitch on Rogers, and Arias moves up to third. So another break for the Birds. Another man at third base with no outs. Again, a wild pitch right there. And like you mentioned, Griffin, the weak contact for those two hits. The Birds will take it. A hit's a hit. But, you know, in terms of, like, the analytics and looking at hit probability and expected hit outcomes and all that, like, the analytics would not be kind to those hit balls for the hits. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You can't play the game on paper. You got to play it on the field.
And that's why it's so beneficial to have athletes on your roster, because once one of those guys gets on, whether he gets on, you know, really earning it with a ball that's hit over 100 miles an hour off the bat or a really soft ball off the bat, it helps to put pressure on the defense.
3-2 line down the left field line, foul. And that's what the Ironbirds do, is apply pressure. First base coach and fundamentals coach Charles Bolden says the word pressure every day. That is his goal for his guys, is to apply pressure on the bases, whether it's stealing bags or taking extra bases on hits, picking up on pass balls and wild pitches. 3-2, grounded to third. Montero goes to first. Throw is there in time, but another runner is in to score. Arias is in from third, and it's 2-0 Ironbirds on the RBI ground out from Anudis Mordaunt.
And you can just probably point to that as the organizational philosophy. You know, a lot of these guys getting much more playing time now, you know, just as you know, between promotions. And it's probably something that they saw, you know, from Enrique Bradfield, Matt Horvath, who obviously isn't here anymore, Matthew Etzel, guys that just put pressure on once they're on the base paths. And now some of these younger guys, now that they're on the base paths, they see what can happen when you try to take an extra base.
So 2-0 Birds. Here's Douglas Hodo the third. Batting in the 8th spot in right field. Picked up an outfield assist as Brian Gonzalez tried to stretch 2-3 last inning for Greenville. Hodo takes inside 2-0. That's a great point that you mentioned with the success that these young guys are having and guys that just put pressure on opposing teams. I mean, this is a very athletic group here in Aberdeen, and I think that's why we've seen guys have so much success right at the start of their tenure at a new level, because they can do a little bit of everything on the diamond. They're versatile players. So when one part of their game, when something's not working, they find ways to impact the game elsewhere. Here's the 3-0 pitch to Hodo. That's high, ball 4, and Doug works the walk. That brings up Noel Berth Romero.
Yeah, certainly not what Rogers wanted there, a 4-pitch walk right after he finally gets the first out of the inning. You clear the base paths, kind of a chance to restart. And, 4-pitch walk. Obviously, never what you want, especially with the bases empty.
The Birds lead it 2-0 here in the home second. A couple of hits in this inning, a stolen base that led to a throwing error. Hodo's at first with one out for Noel Berth Romero. First pitch to Romero, fouls it away. And if you tuned into the broadcast from the jump, you heard my pregame interview with Noel Berth, and it was really fun talking to him. This is a kid who did not speak any English at all and didn't start learning English until he was signed by the Red Sox as a teenager. And now he's fluent. Did that interview with me in English, and I really appreciate him doing that. 0-1, that's down. And he's very confident with his English. He continues to get better with it. He's at the point now where he's pretty much fluent. But he started learning English when he was signed by the Red Sox, and Anaima Garcia, who is in charge of the Orioles education program, has helped Noel Berth and a lot of these native Spanish speakers tremendously. 1-1, low and in. Another one that skips away from White. That one ended up in front of him, but Hodo picks up second. But Griffin, I think it's so awesome that these guys have the confidence to do these interviews in English.
No doubt.
It's not their native language.
Yeah, no doubt. And it just shows you just kind of what kind of people they are, too. Just the hard work it takes, obviously, to get to this level in your baseball career. the days in the gym, the days in the batting cages, and on the field, probably not always in best conditions either. It can be really cold at times, can be raining, can be whatever it is, and then also, you know, taking the time to learn a whole nother language as well, and being confident enough to, you know, showcase to the world, you know, how proficient you are in that language. So yeah, really cool hearing from Noel Berth in the pregame. Great interview, Mike, by the way.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks.
Your Spanish sounds good as well.
Hodo takes off for third. Chopper out to short. De Leon throws over to first to retire Romero, but the Birds get another runner to third. Hodo was off on the pitch, so he is there with two outs. And I appreciate the compliment on the Spanish. It's something that I've been working on this year. I was taking lessons on Babbel throughout the offseason, really to prepare me for this season, to talk to all these native Spanish speakers. And I mean, there's some that speak English, and I can rely on English for that, but others, I really have to make the effort, and I've gotten much more comfortable with it, and Romero has helped me with my Spanish a little bit. Here's a liner to left center from Estrada. Blaze is over. He lays out, can't make the catch. It's past him all the way to the wall. Hodo's in to score. Estrada's around second, heading for third, and he's going to get there way ahead of the throw in. It's a two-out RBI triple for Aaron Estrada, and it's 3-0 Iron Birds.
Finally, a hard-hit ball for the Ironbirds, and that one brings in a run. Hodo easily scoring from third, and Estrada, once again, showing off the wheels. He strolls into third rather easily on a big two-out triple.
Aaron Estrada is a really fun player to watch, and I've said it throughout this week. He is going to be on an Orioles top prospect list at some point going into next year. I mean, that is how talented he is. Right now, he's kind of flying under the radar, and now a quick visit to the mound as the drive try to talk things over, but just a really fun player. Speed, his bat, defensive ability. It's 3-0 Aberdeen after his RBI triple. The Birds pick up a two-out run to extend the lead, and it's great to see the Ironbirds put up this early offense, Griffin, and I think they're just kind of going off of what they did in the ninth inning last night. Even though they didn't win the game, a confidence-boosting ninth in which they were down four and put the winning run on base at one point. And now that just translates over into today.
Yeah, really good, really, really great job from the really obviously the whole lineup, just carrying over that momentum. That first inning, they didn't really get much going off of Rogers. It looked like we might have been due for a little bit of a pitching duel and a few weak base hits.
Ball gets away from White again off the glove, and Estrada's in to score 4-0 Aberdeen.
A few weak base hits, a hard hit triple from Estrada, and suddenly 4-0 Ironbirds, and a big hole that Greenville's going to have to try to dig themselves out of.
And I'm sure Rogers is a little bit frustrated. The bloop single to center, the tapper in front of the mound for an infield hit, the throwing error in the inning. You know, wild pitch is obviously on him, but it's definitely been a tough inning overall for Greenville. 1-0 is on the outside corner to Sosa. It's 1-1. A four spot in the inning for the Ironbirds. A big confidence-boosting inning as right-hander Adam Smith gets loose for the drive. Sosa fouls one away over towards the first base side. It's 1-2. Most runs the Ironbirds have scored in an inning this week, and that's a great sign as well. 1-2 pitch coming up to Sosa. Way outside and skipped in the dirt. It's 2-2.
Yeah, and unfortunate for Rogers, it looks like can't really pinpoint anything that went wrong with him, but it has been. He's spiking a few more pitches this inning. Obviously, the drive already getting warm in the bullpen.
Could be trying to just do a little bit too much after the error and the two bloop hits before that. 2-2. Fastball on the outside corner, a called strike three. So Sosa is down for the final out. But the Birds sent seven to the plate. They put up four runs. They did it on three hits, including an RBI triple from Aaron Estrada. And it's 4-0 Birds after two. We'll head to the top of the third inning after this. Stay locked in with Griffin and I on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. we go to the top of the third inning here in Aberdeen. 4-0 Birds after a four spot in the bottom of the second, capped off with an Aaron Estrada RBI triple. Michael Marcantonini and Griffin Bass with you here on the broadcast. What an inning for the Ironbirds, Griffin.
Yeah, everything kind of went their way that inning. Started off with two base hits, one that traveled probably only like 10 feet past the plate, another one that blooped in between shortstop and center field, and it led to a four-run inning for the Ironbirds, just the team being able to really show off their athleticism on the base paths and a few hard-hit balls as well.
First pitch, grounder to short. Aaron Estrada tried everything he could to get that over to first, but it's an infield single for Juan Chacon. So Chacon, a leadoff base runner against Trey Gibson. That brings up Framie DeLeon with Juan Montero to follow, but the Birds have an early lead. It is their first lead since game one of this series on Tuesday. That tells you how tough it's been for these Birds bats against the drive pitching staff that has been so good this series. The Birds pitching has been great as well. And now Trey Gibson has this early lead to work with. First pitch to DeLeon is outside. The count is 1-0. Gibson on for the second time this week against the drive. He pitched really good in the Ironbirds' win on Tuesday. Gibson took a no decision. 1-0, that's in for a strike. Numbers for Gibson in that start on Tuesday. 4 2/3 innings of work, his second longest outing with the Ironbirds. Gave up one run, four strikeouts, only one walk. The curveball was fantastic that day. The fastball was electric. Now the 1-1 to DeLeon, that's high.
You can kind of just see the difference in each pitcher's mannerisms right now, Rogers. You know, after your defense makes a few errors, it can certainly affect you. Obviously, you try to do your best to continue doing your job, but, you know, the way they defense really showed out in the second inning, you can see more confidence behind Gibson.
Chacon took off on the pitch, but that pitch is fouled into the seats, third base side. Gibson has looked really good in his short stint at high A so far. He only threw 10 pitches in the second, seven strikes. Had some help from his defense as well. He did give up that leadoff double, but Doug Hodo to Aaron Estrada and then over to Carter Young at third, cut down the runner, and then a diving grab by Prado in center. 2-2 just off the plate, counts full. DeLeon's been out of the lineup the last couple days. But back in there, switch hitter batting from the left side. He's at shortstop today. Long pause from Gibson. Payoff pitch. Missed inside. That's ball four. And that puts runners at first and second. Well, Griffin, want to dive into a little bit about your background. I know I touched on it a little bit earlier, but you're doing a lot with all the different media outlets that you work for. So just give us a quick rundown of like what a weekly schedule looks like with all your different jobs.
Let's see. Well, so you mentioned Glenn Clark Radio and Press Box. That's the most consistent thing that you can always find me on with Glenn. You can find us on the Press Box YouTube page or on PressBoxOnline.com. We're live 10 to noon, and we usually go until about 12:30 every day. Just you know, getting your best spot you can find Orioles or Ravens coverage. We'll cover a variety of things. We talk to minor leaguers throughout the week, especially obviously during the summer. We'll usually chat with the Bay Sox. We'll chat with the Ironbirds whenever you guys are home. We'll try to catch up with the Tides as well. You know, so just try to do everything we can to provide you some great coverage of the Orioles, especially during these summer months, and obviously football season around the corner. So we will be talking plenty of Ravens, I promise. Obviously not a whole lot going on as the preseason continues in the NFL world, but we'll talk Terps as well, obviously football, college football. We'll talk college basketball. Hopefully the Terps basketball team can turn it around a little bit as well. But yeah, anything local sports-wise, we will be talking about that every single day. Glenn and I, you'll be able to catch me on 105.7. I'm usually on there about two to three nights a week. That could be really any day of the week. Unfortunately, I can't give you a specific day. I'll be pushing the ones and twos tomorrow night, actually, at the Fan.
There's a swing and a miss from Juan Montero, the nine-hole hitter. The count is 1-2 after a quick mound visit from Manutis Mordaunt. First and second with no outs. Birds up 4-0 here in the top of the third, but I mean, that's just the nature of it. You know, the schedule's changing all the time in sports. And
with the fall season coming up, you mentioned the freelancing play-by-play. Never really know where I might be next, but I will be always typically somewhere in Maryland trying to share the gospel of sports.
Yeah, put the miles on that car.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We all do it. So there's a strikeout for Trey Gibson. Back to the top of the order for Andy Lugo. First and second with one out. The Birds are playing for two up the middle. Both runners take off. Here's a liner to left. That's down in front of Sosa. And it's just one base for everybody as Sosa gets it in quickly. So the lead runner, Chacon, there, turned around and then spun back in the other direction once he realized it was down. It was a pretty funny sequence.
Yes,
right there.
It was almost
like a 360 spin.
Exactly, it was almost like, oh, it's the perfect pitch to try to steal on because now he'll easily score. But it hung up just long enough that he did have to freeze right before he got the third. So maybe the Ironbirds catch a little bit of a break. Bases loaded. It's never easy, but they do have one out here. If they can get a ground ball, they could get out of this inning.
Birds keep the infielders back. First pitch from Gibson to the two-hole hitter. Blase is in for a strike. It's 0-1. So I know you stay busy with all the different roles that you have, but I know the one role that has meant a lot for you in your career is the opportunities that you've had with Glenn Clark Radio, working with Glenn Clark and all the stuff you do there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've just the different types of people I've talked to, you know, it's you know, there's never any monotony, obviously, in sports. Something different every single day you get to talk about, and you know, we try to find people that can you know, that know more than Glenn and I do about baseball, about football, whatever it may be. So certainly very, very much fun being able to, you know, talk about the Orioles, talk about the Ravens. It's you know, I'm very lucky. I'm still 24 years old, but you know, I get to do something that I really do enjoy every single day.
Ball and two strikes on Blase with the bases juiced and one out here in the third. Next pitch from Gibson just missed. It's 2-2. I think that's why we're all doing it, though, is, you know, from me being here, getting to go on the radio and all the things that you do with the play-by-play. I mean, it's fun. It's enjoyable. We love doing it. You know, it's exciting when you can wake up and be excited about going to work. Off the end of the bat, fly ball to left field. Sosa is in. This one's not too deep. He makes the catch. Runners tagging. Here's the throw to the plate. It's offline, and the drive get on the board. Ball gets away from Young, and the two trail runners advance as well. So second and third now for Greenville with two outs. A run is in. It's 4-1. But a manageable situation for the Ironbirds to try to get out of here with two down now. That'll go down as probably a throwing error on Sosa.
I believe you're right, so that is the way I will throw it down. It was a strong throw from Sosa, a little bit off the mark, obviously pulled Young a little bit out of the out of that path there to home plate. That was why he wasn't able to come up with it. And credit to the drive there, taking the extra 90, both of their runners. As Lugo and De Leon both move up a station.
So that brings up Earhart with runners at second and third and two down. Birds lead at 4-1, no shutdown inning, but a four spot in the previous half inning helps because they still have that three-run advantage.
Yeah, and you can talk about, you know, not quite as much pressure on Gibson here. Obviously, bases loaded, one out, never easy. But if you're able to get out of this with only allowing one run and you still got a three-run cushion here, definitely count that as a positive.
Well, with bases loaded, for the drive to score that run, it took them trading an out to do it, and that's big. If you have to give up a run, you might as well get an out out of it. Here's a slowly hit ground ball back to Gibson, first base side, throws over to first, and the inning is over. Nice job by Gibson to get some weak contact to help retire the side. So a run in for the drive on two hits, one error, and they leave two. 4-1, Birds over the drive through 2.5. We'll head to the bottom of the third next on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the third inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Aberdeen 4, Greenville 1. The Birds trying to bookend this series with a W. They won the series opener on Tuesday. They've dropped the last four, but all tight games. And now the Birds will look to continue with the bats. Four runs on three hits, including a triple from Aaron Estrada in the second. And now it's Prado, Willems, and Young due up against Greenville left-hander Dalton Rogers, who's back out there. He just threw his 49th pitch of the game, and we're only in the third inning. So, Griffin, it was great to see the Birds get his pitch count up last inning.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And be interesting to see how he bounces back this inning. Always very tough to come back from throwing. I mean, did he get close to, had been close, if not more than 30 pitches in that second inning. So, the Birds will just try to pick up right where they left off there. Getting on base anyway, anyhow, whether it's a walk, whether it's a weak base hit, anything will work.
The drive picked up a run in the top of the third, but that's it. They left two. 0-2 to Prado, stays back on a breaking ball, pops it up, foul ground on the first base side. Gonzalez is there. He makes the catch. So Prado is quickly retired. That brings up Creed Willems. So continuing the conversation, Griffin, about all your different roles, especially with what you're doing with Glenn Clark Radio. I know that you guys have had a chance to interview a lot of Ironbirds players this year, which, to start, we all want to thank you guys for your coverage of the minor leagues and what you do to showcase our guys here in Aberdeen. But it's been really fun for me listening to those interviews that you guys have done with our guys.
Yeah, those are always really fun, and it's a great way to keep tabs on the system and how things are going, and it's a great way to kind of peer into how things work behind the scenes as well. Just you can get a really good sense of what Mike Elias and what the Orioles are trying to build. We talked about it a few innings ago. Just they want to bring in athletes, guys that can really put the pressure on the other team, and that's what we see really with most of these lineups up and down the entire set, all the way from the Orioles. You have guys like Gunnar Henderson and Jordan Westberg who are just really good athletes and can steal a base every now and then when they need to, and are able to just and you see that power develop all the way up to the major leagues. So any guys that can hit home runs and obviously at this level is where we really see that speed showcased with those guys like Bradfield, those guys like Trimble and Josenberger who just got promoted, Etzel and even Horvath. Just the system, the mentality of the Orioles. They want guys that are great athletes, and it's really cool to just see how they work. Their mentality as well. We had Reed Trimble on a couple weeks ago actually, and even Matthew Etzel and Mac Horvath we talked to earlier in the season, and they talk about the message from the coaching staff is you can go ahead and you have that green light when you're on base, and it's really cool to see how they prioritize running the bases.
3-2 pitch, rip foul up the first baseline from Willems. A good AB here with Rogers, and that's something that stands out to me is you mentioned what the players have said, that the coaching staff says to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is so much cohesion in this organization right now from every level. These coaches are in constant contact with each other at the different levels, and everybody's on the same page, which has made the player development success stand out so much. Not just within this organization, but around baseball. 3-2, called strike three on Willems. And it's two up, two down here in the third for Rogers and the drive. But I know that the player development success would not be as high without that cohesion within the organization. From the coaches down to the players, everybody buys in, everybody's on the same page. And, yeah, in terms of what they're looking for out of these guys, I mean, from position players, power-speed combo, from pitchers, that upper 90s fastball with nasty breaking stuff. The sweeper slider is a big pitch in this organization. So there is definitely a theme for the players that they go after.
Yeah, and you talk about that cohesion up and down the system, and it definitely helps take the pressure off of these guys as well, and it's why they're able to see such strong development up and down the system. We have guys like Carter Young right now. Obviously, he's hitting left-handed against the lefties. He's been switch hitting all season. And he knows that, whether he goes 0-for-4 today or goes 4-for-4, whatever happens, he knows that the organization, everyone at the top knows that, hey, he's working on trying to hit left-handed pitching from the left side here.
Here's a liner to left that hangs up long enough for Chacon to make the catch. But left on left, another solid piece off the bat for Carter Young. It looks like he's seen it well from there. But a 1-2-3 inning for the drive here in the bottom of the third. But after three full, the Birds lead it 4-1 in control of this game and looking to stay in control. We'll take another break, head to the fourth after this break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585 or email office at tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585, and you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information.
We move to the top of the fourth inning here in Aberdeen. It's the Birds 4 and the drive 1. And right-hander Trey Gibson is back to work, looking for a shutdown frame. He allowed a run in third, but two innings of one-run ball in relief for him so far. He gets Gonzalez, White, Lopez, 4-5-6. Gonzalez doubled down the right field line his first time up. Now he swings at the first pitch, pops it into fair territory, and the second baseman Estrada makes the catch just inside that fair foul line. Nice communication there as he called off Willems in front of him. So a pop out on one pitch.
Good start here in the fourth for Gibson. And just to kind of continue that conversation we were talking about in the way the cohesion of the coaching staff up and down the entire Orioles system. And, you know, we talked about what I do covering the Orioles and Ravens in radio. It's hard not to look at everything from a macro kind of point and how what they're doing down here can directly affect you know, what the Orioles are doing in Baltimore. But yeah, just the way they work on things. We had Kyle Verbitsky on, the relief pitcher here with Aberdeen. We had him on earlier this week, and a great conversation, by the way. He is a 10 out of 10 guy. Yeah. I could listen to him talk about anything for really forever. You know, he talked about, you know, he was a starter last season, and now coming in as a reliever this year, and he's always working on something different coming out of the bullpen, whether it's, you know, he's going to focus on using this pitch here or another pitch here, or whether it's a save situation. And, you know, they have confidence, you know, knowing that the organization is behind him. You know, if Verbitsky or Zach Fruit's another guy that we had on earlier this season, if he's going to work on something specific and he happens to get shelled, you know, obviously it doesn't feel good, but, you know, he knows that the system knows, oh, he was really working on, you know, mixing up the slider with the four-seam or something like that. And you know, just happened to not work that day.
There's a breaking ball off the plate from Gibson. The count is 3-2 on Hudson White with one out and no one on in the top of the fourth. Birds holding a 3-run lead. See what Gibson comes back with here for the payoff pitch. Here it is. Not too deep, right center field. Prado and Hodo are over. It's Prado who makes the catch. Two air outs for Gibson here in the fourth, and that brings up Eduardo Lopez. So to your point there, Griffin, talking about, like, if guys are out there working on stuff, and even if the box score doesn't show that they had maybe a quote-unquote good game or great game, they can still leave an outing or, as a position player, a game with a lot of positive takeaways, because this level is all about working on stuff. I mean, that's what the minor leagues is. Slap foul down the left field line, and these guys here in Aberdeen talk a lot about the term or the phrase process over prize. That's what this coaching staff preaches to them, because it's not always about the end game results, the wins and losses, or you may take an 0-for-4, but if you hit two liners and, you know, had a high hit probability or a good exit velo on a couple of them and just, you know, made some really good swing decisions, that's a big positive. And as a pitcher, you may give up four runs in three innings, but if you only walked one batter and you walked four in your last start, that's a huge positive, and you're around the zone and filling it up. And there is a lot more than what you see in the box score at the end of the night.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, and that's what makes the, you know, that's what makes this game so much fun, is that all these guys, they're professionals out there, but they're also, you know, they're all still really young. They're still trying to figure out, you know, who they are as baseball players, as human beings as well.
Here's a liner to right. Hodo is right there, though. He makes the catch, and it's a 1-2-3 top of the fourth inning for Trey Gibson. He looks really good. Three innings of one-run ball. And he gets the Birds back into the dugout with a chance to add on to their three-run lead. 4-1 Aberdeen over Greenville. Bottom four next on MILB-TV and Bally Live.
Does your local Harford, Cecil, or Baltimore County business want more customers? Advertise with the Ironbirds and take advantage of the best local entertainment venue in the area. Contact the Ironbirds at partners@goironbirds.com or call us at 410-297-9292 for more information. Join local companies like Leidos, Horizon Cinemas, The Olive Tree, and more by advertising with the Ironbirds. Every Sunday at the ballpark this season is Sunday Family Fun Day presented by the Macaroni Kid Bel Air. Prior to the game, play catch on the field like the Ironbirds starting at 1 p.m., and after the game, it's kids run the bases. Get a ticket to one of our remaining Sunday home games now at goironbirds.com. That's Sunday Family Fun Day presented by the Macaroni Kid Bel Air. Red, White, and Boom is back for 2024. On Thursday, July 4th, Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium will host our annual Independence Day Family Festival with on-field games, live music, a kids zone, concessions, and fireworks at the end of the night.
If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585. Or email office@tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585. And you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information.
Left-hander Dalton Rogers back to work in the bottom of the fourth inning. It's the Ironbirds 4 and the Drive 1. The Birds got all four of their runs against Rogers in the bottom of the second. So he's still out there. He gets Arias, Mordon, and Hodo. 6-7-8. For the Birds as they look for some more runs. Big 1-2-3 inning for Trey Gibson. Griffin, he's been really good out of the bullpen today.
Yeah, Gibson's looked great. He had a little bit of a bumpy third inning, but able to get out of a bases-loaded jam with only allowing one run, which we'll certainly take when you go into the inning with a four-run lead.
First pitch low and in to the switch hitter Arias, batting from the right side, 1-0.
And Rogers looked had a great third inning as well. He obviously had a roller coaster of a second inning. It was good for him to come back. Obviously, unfortunate for the Ironbirds, but he had a 3-up, 3-down inning in the third as well. See if he can't keep that going.
1-0, ground ball to second. Lugo waits back on it, throws to first. It's in time to get Arias. 1-up, 1-down here in the fourth. That's 5 in a row set down by Rogers, so he is settling in. Gibson on the flip side is settling in. The Birds looking for more. Up 4-1 here is Anudis Mordon, who brought home a run with an RBI grounder his first time up. Well, Griffin, the last two half innings went 1-2-3 both teams, so the conversation will spill over into this inning as well. But we've talked a lot about the player development success in the Orioles organization and the cohesion between the coaching staff and the players, everybody buying in. And I was talking about during the last half inning, process over prize is the phrase that these guys go off of, because there's so much more to the outcome of the game and the individual outcomes for these guys in the stat sheet. And they're constantly working on things every single day. A 1-to-Mordon is low, and something that I think about is that what's great about minor league baseball is that it is such a big learning environment for these guys, where nobody is going to get upset over wins and losses like at other levels.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it keeps it fun for the guys too. You know, every single day they're working on something new, maybe the same thing, but you know, they're testing things out. You know, it's, you can almost compare it to, you know, like a chemistry class or something. You're trying to see, throw in different ingredients, see what works, see what doesn't.
Yeah. It's a low pressure game environment in most cases, 1-2 pitch to Mordan inside. And, of course, there's always pressure on these guys individually because it is such a competitive business. I mean, baseball, it's so hard to get to the big leagues. And there are only 26 roster spots at the big league level, and there are hundreds of minor leaguers in every system. So, yeah, I mean, there's pressure in that sense. But if you go out there and strike out four times in a game, or if a pitcher gets shelled, nobody's going to sit you down after the game and, you know, be upset or, you know, talk down to you. I mean, it is all positivity as Mordan goes down on strikes, because the goal is to get, everyone says, 1% better every day, the cliche term, but that's what it is the goal is to get better in some way every day.
Yeah, and that's what keeps it fun. You know, it's interesting, you know, watching the Iron, but really watching any of the minor league teams, whether you want to check out the Bay Sox, the Shorebirds, even the Tides, you know, it watching them today has kind of reminded me of kind of what the Orioles looked like two seasons ago, back in 2022, when they first really started turning things around. They won over 80 games back in 2022. And, you know, just kind of the team just having fun, you know. They look like they play a lot looser. And it's interesting watching now, you know, the Orioles, you can say now, like, officially have arrived. They're in a pennant race, you know, every single day checking to see if the Yankees won or lost, you know, trying to win the AL East. And it's interesting, you know, just the way the difference in that. You know, when you don't necessarily, you know, you're not living and dying by those wins and losses. You can play a lot looser. And you can definitely see it in the style that the way the guys play. And you can tell that a lot of these Ironbirds players and any of the Orioles prospects up and down the system, they seem to be playing loose. And you mentioned that individual pressure, it's certainly always there. But when you're with a bunch of guys that, you know, all have that common goal of I'm just trying to get better. I know that he's trying to get 1% better. It makes it a lot of fun.
Counts 1-2 on Hodo with two outs and no one on in the bottom of the fourth. Birds up 3. Next pitch, ground ball to third base. Montero stays back on it. Throw to first is low. It skips into the turf. I think Hodo beat the throw anyway. But either way, he is safe at first with two down. That might go as an infield single.
I think you're right there. That was third baseman Montero was playing a little bit back there
just,
on the third base line.
Back on it.
Yeah.
Didn't really have any sense of urgency. That brings up Noelberth Romero.
If it goes down as a hit, second hit of the day for Hodo. Or sorry, never mind. He walked in his first plate appearance.
Twice in two plate appearances. Left-hander Jeremy Wu Yelland is up in the drive bullpen. He has pitched once so far this series.
Better way to say it, reaching base twice.
Romero swings at that pitch and fouls it away. Hodo was off on the pitch and slid into second, but he'll have to go back.
Sure, the guy is hungry now that, you know, Rogers settled in a little bit more, noticing things in his delivery to the plate. Looked like a higher leg kick from Rogers that time. Hodo must have saw that. Where did it take off? We'll see if we get a slide step this time from Rogers.
Big hole on the right side. 0-1 pitch. Chopper foul third base side. Well, let's dive into some numbers here on Rogers. Entering today's game, he had allowed 2 earned runs or less in each of his last 4 appearances. He had a 2.12 ERA in that span, just 4 earned runs in 17 innings of work. He has allowed 4 earned runs today. And he had allowed 4 earned runs in just 2 innings today. So the Birds getting to him early, and that's a great sign for a guy who had been on a roll.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Ironbird's just able to, you know, kind of get things to waterfall a little bit. You know, one guy gets on, another guy gets on, and it's about just finding any way to get on base. And, you know, we've been talking about it, putting that pressure on the other team. And, you know, forcing them to not make a mistake. And as we've seen, Driver made a couple of mistakes, especially in that second inning.
Hodo took off on that last pitch. He got the second without a throw. Pitch missed inside to Romero, so a stolen base for Doug. And that is the Ironbirds' second swiped bag, third swiped bag, actually, today. Well, this is a team that runs wild.
And that's what's very cool to see. You know, we've been talking about the guys that are no longer on the team, and to still see those stolen base numbers.
Pitch in the dirt. Hodo takes off for third on the wild pitch, and he gets there without a throw.
Tough play for Hudson White there. Did a good job of keeping that one in front. Unfortunately, he didn't see exactly where he knocked it down. It was right at his feet and wasn't able to pick it up in time. Hodo flying around the base pass here.
The Ironbirds entered today's game with 320 stolen bases on the season. They are up to 323 now. 2-2 to Romero, and he grounds that one foul.
And correct me if I'm wrong, that leads all of minor leagues, right? Every single level.
By a considerable margin. I mean, nobody is even in the ballpark of the Ironbirds. In terms of most single-season stolen bases in minor league history, the Ironbirds already have the regular season StatCast era record. And the StatCast era goes back to 2015, but the Ironbirds also have the most stolen bases in any regular season since 1988. 2-2, swing and a miss. Romero goes down on strikes, and the Birds leave a man at third. No runs on a hit, no errors, one man left. Two more strikeouts for Rogers, but the Birds still lead it 4-1 after four. We'll take another break, head to the top of the fifth when we come back on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Top five in Aberdeen, 4-1 Birds over the Drive in the finale of this six-game series. A nice day here in the Dean. Thought some rain was going to come through earlier in the day, but we have avoided it, and we are dry and playing baseball. Birds with a lead here is Trey Gibson back to work. First pitch misses inside, and the count is 1-0 on Juan Chacon, the seven-hole hitter, with De Leon and Montero to follow. Gibson's retired the last five he's faced. 1-2-3, fourth inning. Came on in the second, and here's a fastball in the outer half for a strike. Count is 1-1 now. Gibson has allowed either zero earned runs or one earned run in three of his five outings for the Ironbirds prior to today's game. So far, three innings of one-run ball. Just a really consistent pitcher.
That's really all you can ask for as well from your pitcher.
There's a ground ball to short. Arias has it on two hops. Shuffles, throws to first. And Willems takes care of the rest at the bag. One up, one down.
You know, just a guy that can keep the ball, over the plate. A reasonable whip this season coming in today with a 1-2 whip. Not putting a dramatic number of guys on base. And, a lot of times just letting his defense help him out a little bit.
This is Gibson's 22nd appearance of the season, this is not a start. He came in the second. 22nd appearance overall. He has made 13 starts between low A and high A. Came in with a 3.33 ERA. 1-0, swing and a miss. And with his first punch out of the day today, he got to the century mark on the season. So hit that triple digits in the strikeout department, and he got to it in less than 80 innings.
Yeah, so I mentioned letting his defense help him out, but he does definitely go for the punch out.
He helps
more often than not.
Out
yes,
plenty. So I mean, just return him the favor. So at 101 strikeouts now on the season, looking for another one here. Count is 1-2 on De Leon. Next pitch, that's high. Among pitchers in the Orioles minor league system who have thrown at least 70 innings this year, Gibson ranks second with a strikeout percentage of 30.8 and a strikeout per nine ratio of 11.9. 2-2, ripped to the third base side. It's past the diving Young into the left field corner. Sosa is over to pick it up, and Framie De Leon pulls into second with a double. Carter Young almost got a glove on that ball.
Yeah. It was a very, very well hit ball from Framie De Leon there. Much needed base hit for him as well, as he's been struggling throughout the season, especially in terms of batting average. Be very happy with a double there, De Leon, and the drive. Runner in scoring position with less than two outs here.
So here's the nine-hole hitter, Juan Montero, who Gibson got swinging back in the third inning. Birds still lead it 4-1. Next pitch from Gibson off the plate. Count is 1-0. Well, Griffin, I can't finish this broadcast today without asking about this, so we might as well get it out of the way in the middle innings. I noticed in your Twitter bio recently that you've got Dodgeball National Champion in there. We got to unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad you asked.
During your time at Towson,
yes,
I guess?
Yes. During at Towson, I was on the club dodgeball team, and back in 2019, we went out there and we won the national championship.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very fun sport. Obviously, everybody knows the movie dodgeball but it's a very fun sport. There's a lot of strategy behind it. You know, when you get into it. And, I was always, I was an athlete in high school, but, you know, not crazy athletic, obviously. That's why I put a microphone in front of my face for a living. I'm much better at talking about it than actually playing the sports. Trying to just extend my athletic career a little bit, you know, make a few friends, you know, obviously in college as well. I didn't really think anything of it, but, happened to be my freshman year. Just joined the dodgeball team and, We went out at we actually knocked off Grand Valley State that year out in Michigan. We went to Grand Valley State for the Nationals, and we beat them. They were like 6-time defending champions.
Wow.
Yeah, it was Grand Rapids, Michigan is where Grand Valley State is. It turned into Towson, Michigan that night. We certainly celebrated and let everyone know.
That's so awesome. Ground ball to third. Young has it. Throws to first. The throw back to third from Willems is on the money, but the runner is safe. De Leon, an aggressive base running move there, but he does advance to third with two down. Nice play by Young, though, and strong throw back across the diamond. That's so cool. I mean, Dodgeball Club Club Dodgeball National Champion. Do it as a freshman. Upset the 6-time defending champs. Talk about the strategy involved. Of course, dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
And that's just the surface of it. You know, it's all a lot about ball control. Yeah. You know, you want to make sure you keep the numbers. We start 12-on-12, and it's all about, you know, kind of controlling the clock because we have a shot clock in dodgeball and able, you know, in order to keep things moving along. It was a lot of fun. And, it certainly helped shape my college experience. It was, I'm sure any club sport would. I can't recommend enough,
That's so cool.
Just being a fan of sports, you know, just playing a club sport, continuing, my athletic career as long as I could.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you mentioned Grand Valley State. I'm familiar. I had two cousins who went there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah, how about that?
Out in Michigan. Yeah, they both live in Grand Rapids now. Pitch misses outside. Count is 2-1 on Lugo, the leadoff man. It's 4-1 Birds with a runner at third in the top of inning number five. Gibson trying to get through another scoreless frame. My one cousin got married out in Grand Rapids around Labor Day weekend last year, so got to check it out. Didn't know that I was entering some area where Towson history was made.
Exactly, yeah. Lot of dodgeball up in Michigan, surprisingly. So most of the teams based in Michigan and Ohio, in kind of like MAC country, if you want to call it that.
Some
Mid-American,
MAC-ship.
Yeah. In Mid-America. Really, really fun while we're naming, I guess, Grand Valley State things. Matthew Judon, of course, the former Raven.
Yeah.
Just traded to the Falcons from the Patriots. He was a Grand Valley State alum. Just interesting how Grand Valley State, gets themselves into the forefront.
Yeah.
I think if they're known for things, it's probably dodgeball number one.
Okay.
And then Matthew Judon and your cousins.
Dodgeball school. Yeah. You know, we talk about football
school,
yes. Basketball school. They're a dodgeball school. I guess Towson is too.
Yeah, Towson. Towson, you know, it goes. I think lacrosse probably number one for Towson. But then, yeah, shortly behind, I would say dodgeball's up there.
Bringing home the natty. That's awesome, man. 3-2 on Lugo with De Leon at third. 2 gone in the inning. Next pitch. On the outside corner, a called strike 3. Trey Gibson paints the outside black, and he picks up his third strikeout. in four innings of one-run ball. He looks really good once again today. And the drive go quietly. No runs on a hit, no errors. One man left on. Going to the bottom of the fifth next. Birds lead at 4-1. Stay locked in on MILB TV and Bally Live. Home half of the fifth inning at Aberdeen, Iron Birds 4, drive 1. Trey Gibson with a really strong outing in relief. Four innings of one-run ball after Tyler Birch went the first inning on a rehab appearance here in Aberdeen. Left-hander Jeremy Wu Yelland is the new pitcher for the drive. He takes over for left-hander Dalton Rogers. And the lefties just keep coming out of this Greenville bullpen. Aaron Estrada at the top of the order with Sosa and Prado to follow. 0-1 to Estrada, swing and a miss. Well, he tripled to left center field his last time up and brought home a run. And he really got a piece of that one, Griffin.
Yeah, he did. You mentioned just how exciting Estrada is. Mentioned a couple weeks ago, I was out on the Eastern Shore, got to see a Shorebirds game, and Estrada was the table setter there for the Shorebirds, and did almost the same thing that he tried to do to start off this game. He got on with a base hit and stole his way all the way around and easily scored an opening run for the Shorebirds. And it's just that speed and athleticism makes him such a tough out.
Ground ball up the middle. De Leon took care of that one. Shortstop over to the first baseman, Gonzalez, and Estrada is retired. So that trip to the Shore was almost like a scouting trip for
yeah really exactly yeah
and because half the guys in the lineup there on that night are here now.
Exactly. Mordon was in that lineup. I know Arias was in that lineup. Estrada, we already mentioned. I think was Prado just caught up as well?
Prado's been here.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you might have seen there's a ground ball to second off the bat of Sosa, and it deflects off of Lugo into right center. Sosa's safe at first. Another error for the drive. That's their third of the game. And you might have seen De Los Santos in the lineup. He's not playing today.
Yes, I do remember De Los Santos was in the lineup as well. And, yeah, wow.
Jake Cunningham, who's not playing today.
Jake Cunningham had a great game last night. Yeah, he had a good game as well when we went out to see the Shorebirds. Unfortunately, the Shorebirds lost that night. But, yeah, always good to check in and see how the minor leagues are doing.
So here's Elio Prado. But like Griffin and I just mentioned, very new-look Ironbirds lineup over the last couple weeks. Move over to first. Sosa's back. Looked like he slipped a little bit there, but found his way back to the bag. Right-hander Daniel Lloyd is up in the Birds bullpen. Right-hander Bryce Bonin is up in the drive bullpen. Long pause on the mound for Wu Yelland. Swing and a miss from Prado. It's 0-1. Birds up 3 here in the home half of the fifth. Final line on Rogers. 4 innings of 4-run ball, gave up 4 hits, struck out 6, walked 1, threw 78 pitches, 49 strikes.
Good move from Wu Yelling there. It looks like the ball just got away from Gonzalez.
Almost got Sosa leaning, but he's back.
Yeah, it's the second time he's gotten Sosa leaning. That's why the first slide in was a little awkward. But that lets you know that you have the perfect distance of a lead right now.
Sosa takes off for second. Prado takes high and away. Here's the throw to second. It's where it needed to be, but a little bit late. Sosa slides in head first, and he is safe. Birds have their fourth stolen base of the game. Everybody has the green light here in Aberdeen. And, Griffin, you were talking about some of the guys that you've interviewed through Glenn Clark Radio earlier this year from the Ironbirds roster, talking about the green light and the freedom to run when they think it is the best opportunity to do so.
Yeah, and Mac Horvath as an example was a guy that didn't really steal a whole lot of bases in college. You look back to his days with UNC, wasn't really known as a big base stealer guy. He gets here, and you know, just the freedom that the organization allows these guys to just really hone in on their athleticism, and you know, just suddenly stealing bases a lot more.
Sosa just took off for third, and he's there without a throw. Another stolen base for the Birds. That's their fifth today. And they are up to 325 now on the season.
So you were doing the math between innings. They're certainly on a historical pace right now. And they're lowering the number that they really need per game the rest of the way, because you said there's 19 games remaining on the season?
Yeah, after
or
today,
18?
After today, 18 games remaining in the regular season for the Ironbirds. The unofficial full season minor league record for a team is 360 stolen bases by an Astros affiliate back in 1988. The Birds have a chance at it. 3-2. Prado's down on strike. Swing and a miss there. That is out number two. But Sosa is at third with two down for Willems. But with five stolen bases today, and just need to confirm really quickly that it is five for the Ironbirds, because
I believe you are right. I have Hodo. I have
And Sosa's got
Estrada
and Young. Yep. So five today. 325 stolen bases for this Ironbirds team on the season. They are one away from tying the 2017 Lancaster Jethawks, who had 313 in the regular season that year, but they had 326 overall because of 13 postseason stolen bases. The Birds already broke the StatCast era regular season record held by that 2017 Jethawks team. They did that earlier this week, but now in many less games, they have a chance to break the overall record that the Jethawks had in the StatCast era with 326 counting the postseason. So to break a team's record that included the postseason and do it in the regular season with still three series to play would be really impressive.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Just exciting baseball, too.
Here's Willems, who skies one over the head of the right fielder, Earhard. It lands on the warning track. He's around first, heading for second. Sosa's in to score, and Creed Willems' RBI double here in the bottom of the fifth inning makes it 5-1 Birds, and it gives him an even 50 RBIs on the season.
Excellent piece of hitting there from Creed Willems, doing what he does best, getting those extra base hits, just really channeling in that power. He's been a really fun guy to watch with this Aberdeen team. Obviously, this season, in the last couple of seasons, he's really refining his swing and finding, because he's having the best season of his pro career. If I do recall.
Yeah, you're 100% right there. Willems has been fantastic. One IL stint that held him back for a little bit from some seriously big numbers this year, but up to an even 50 RBIs. I know he was excited to reach that half-century mark. He was talking to me about it before this series started, and I said, well, Creed, I'm glad you didn't break it on the road. Or I'm glad you didn't get the 50 on the road. I wanted to make that call for you here at home, and then I got a chance to do it. So,
well, congratulations, Mike.
Yeah, he took care of business.
Yeah, congrats to Creed on that as well. And, yeah, you mentioned career 390 slugging percentage. And coming into today, he was slugging .458, far and away the best slugging percentage of his career. Came up, been in the organization since 2021. He was drafted out of high school.
Yeah, he's a fun player. And Creed has talked about the chance to go play pro ball when he was drafted. He was committed to TCU and to play big-time D1 baseball for 3 years and then go back into the draft. I mean, he could have maybe gone higher than the eighth round where he was picked, but the Orioles got him to forego his commitment. He wanted to get into pro ball because of what we've talked about, the learning environment in pro ball. In college, he's talked about the fact that it's all about wins and losses in college. So if you're in a slump, you may
not see the field.
You may get yanked out of the lineup. You may never get back. And everything that is done from a training perspective, is to help win games. It's not necessarily about individual development, whereas it's the opposite in pro ball. It's the individual development of the player that matters, and that's why Willems is having a strong season, because of the development plan that he's on.
There's certainly benefits to both. You know, we've seen great players come out of both college and, you know, guys come straight out of high school. But Creed's been a fun guy, obviously, for this organization to have. A lot of personality to him as well, with the long hair.
Here's Young, grounds one up the middle. It's through into center field for a base hit. Willems is around third. He's headed home, and he will score easily. An RBI single for Carter Young. It's 6-1 Ironbirds. Left on left, no problem for Carter Young. He has two hits, and he's hit three balls really well from the left side today. We'll see if he continues to bat left-handed against lefty pitchers the rest of the season. But Griffin, I mean, in terms of making adjustments and trying something out, Carter's got something going right now.
Yeah, he does. He is two hits today, and you mentioned the one out, the line out the left was still a hard hit ball. Looks like he may have something that is going to stick here. And any time that he gets on base, obviously a threat to go ahead and take second base, as is really every guy in this lineup. But just the pressure that puts on. Wu Yellen really has not had a chance to focus on any of the batters this inning because he's got a pretty long stride towards home plate as well. Sosa was taking advantage of that.
Ground ball to first off the bat of Arias. He takes it to the bag himself. A hot shot to him. He made a nice play on it to glove it, and the inning is over. The Birds add two more runs. They do it with two outs. Creed Willems, an RBI double. Carter Young, an RBI single. And it's all Birds so far today. Aberdeen 6, Greenville 1 after 5. We'll head to the top of the sixth inning and see if the Birds can hold the lead where it is. We'll head there next on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Right-hander Daniel Lloyd is the new pitcher for the Ironbirds here in the top of the sixth inning. He takes over for Trey Gibson, who is really solid through four innings of one-run ball today after 4 2/3 innings of one-run ball in his start on Tuesday. Birds lead at 6-1. They picked up two more runs with two outs in the bottom of the fifth. And Griffin, the bats are awake today. The pitching staff has continued to dominate. And we are seeing some peak Ironbirds baseball right here at its finest.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a lot of fun. And, I know I mentioned it already, but it really does, you know, remind me of those of the very young, the younger Oriole teams from a couple years ago now, where just guys out there having fun. You know, doesn't matter who's on the mound, as long as they're throwing strikes, the defense will help pick them up. And it's a nice breath of fresh air, watching the Orioles every day, which has been tough over the last several weeks with the O's just going toe for toe with the Yankees, and obviously stressful for those guys. Yeah. But to come down here, kind of obviously where it all begins, you know, the at the lower end of the system. It's still professional baseball and still a high level of play. But you know, these guys understand where they're at right now, and it's just a lot of fun watching them settle in here and having a nice 5-run lead right now. Look to build on that.
So Lloyd has that 5-run advantage to work with. Misses high, counts 3-1 on Blaise, the 2-hole hitter. It's Blaise Erhard Gonzalez. With the Birds owning a commanding lead in this one. Lloyd pitched really well in piggyback relief on Tuesday night in the Birds 6-2 win. He followed up Gibson in that game, and he'll do it here today. There's a strike. Counts full.
Yeah, so it looks like Lloyd's done a little bit of everything so far this season. Some long relief. He's closed some games. He started several games.
Yeah, and he's finding his rhythm. He started the year on the 60-day IL, had a shoulder injury that was something that was bothering him since the off season. And, you know, he rehabbed. He avoided surgery. He got back on the mound. And season's almost over. He said it feels like it just started for him, which it kind of has, because he did not make his season debut until May 30th. He did not make his Ironbirds season debut until July 1st. It was just rehab appearances before that. He walks the first batter he faces, Blaise. But, Griffin, you mentioned, done a little bit of everything in his last appearance on Tuesday. Pitched the final 4 innings, gave up just 1 run on 2 hits, struck out 5 and only walked 2. It was his best outing of the year with the Ironbirds so far.
Good. Hopefully he can carry some of that over then from Tuesday. A little bit of a rough start here with a leadoff walk, but good to get him in different situations, see how he's able to get out of it, try to work his way out of this one.
Final line on Trey Gibson, gave up 1 run on 4 hits in 4 innings, 3 strikeouts, 1 walk, 61 pitches, 37 strikes.
Great outing from Trey.
Liner up the middle, that's a base hit, so first and second for the drive. With no outs here in the sixth, as Lloyd looks to settle in and settle down. But, yeah, I mean, the outing for Gibson, I think he did everything you'd want out of him. Eat some innings, go 4, gave up just the 1 run. And we talked about the strikeout totals for him this year. He's up over 100 overall this year. But he pitched really well to contact today with only the 3 strikeouts. Let his defense make plays for him.
This is a great defense to have behind you to help you out. All the athleticism that we continue to mention.
Well, now Anudis Mordaunt head out and chat with Lloyd. And pitching coach Jordy Henry is out to chat with them as well. Birds lead at 6-1 with runners at first and second and no outs in the top of the sixth inning. So they'll talk things over and make sure everybody is on the same page.
A little bit of an opportunity here for the drive.
And this is why the insurance runs are so important. You lead by 5 now instead of 3 because of those 2-2-out runs. Creed Willems, an RBI double. Carter Young, a left-on-left RBI single. Guys are swinging it well. The Birds dropped games 2 through 5 of this series, but they won game 1. They're looking to bookend it with a win here in game 6 and carry that momentum into Tuesday's series opener here at home against Winston-Salem.
Yeah, I imagine as a team that's got to do so much for you. Obviously, rough patch between Wednesday and Saturday, but if you can end the week on a high note, certainly makes things easier, especially since they won't have to do any traveling this week, staying home for the long homestand next week as well.
Here's Brian Gonzalez. Both runners take off. Pitches outside. Mordaunt goes for the trail runner. The throw to second is a good one, but it's just a little bit late, and it's a double steal for the drive.
Yeah, good throw from Mordaunt there. Yeah, just behind. You can hear a little bit of the crowd reaction there. They thought maybe that left leg from Erhard there stuck up in the air a little bit longer.
Well, Estrada made a great tag at second. Came right down with the glove.
Yeah, always tough as, you know, when you have a double steal like that, it's tough as the catcher to try and pick one. Typically, obviously, it's a shorter throw to third base, but it looked like that jump that Blaise got was very, very good from second base. So I think he probably made the right decision, just missed Erhard by tenths of seconds.
Sometimes the trail runner may take it a little easier. They'll think, oh, they're going for the guy at third, the lead runner. I can take it easy. But, you know, the catcher, a lot of times we've seen Ironbirds catchers on double steal attempts go for that trail runner going to second, and a lot of times it's worked. So Mordaunt showing off the arm behind the dish. Counts 3-1. Birds lead it 6-1 here in the sixth. Next pitch from Lloyd. Hot ground ball out to short. Arias has it. Strong throw to first. It's a little bit late. An infield single for Gonzalez. Everybody's safe. And it's now a 6-2 game. Blaise in to score. And Earhart moves to third. That's a tough play right there in the hole.
Yeah, it is. They've this is a couple times a drive have hit it now in that 5-6 hole. Arias has been able to range over to get it, but you know, ball either hit not hard enough or just hard enough that doesn't have unable to make a play at first on it, unfortunately. But yeah, drive gonna chip away here. They've really got something cooking now with still no outs in the inning.
Those insurance runs providing to be big for the Birds here in the middle innings. There's still a lot of baseball left to be played today. The Birds have not trailed in this one. They grabbed 4 runs in the bottom of the second, 2 more in the bottom of the fifth. Drive got their 2 runs with 1 in the third and 1 in the sixth inning here so far. And like Griffin mentioned, something cooking with first and third, no outs.
Yeah, but a big opportunity for Daniel Lloyd too, though. You know, even though he's already let 1 run in, but if he's able to find a way to get out of this hole right here.
0-2, foul back.
Certainly show the coaching staff something here from him.
Hudson White's at the plate. Gonzalez took off from first. He's got to go back. So no balls and 2 strikes. Each team with 6 hits in the game. A lot more offense today than we've seen through the last 4 days of the series.
Those 3 errors by Greenville kind of sticking out and a big factor in why the Ironbirds still have a 4-run advantage here.
Lloyd looking to work through some things here. The first 3 of the inning have reached. Walk, single, single. Move over to first, runner back. Count is 0-2 on White. A strikeout would be massive right here.
Yes, it would. I like Hudson White's stance a little bit, too. Kind of, he's a catcher, kind of an old-school look to him with the high socks. A lot of movement in the batting stance.
Yeah, very old-school batting stance. 0-2, popped up, right side, foul out of play.
And just, you know, fighting off pitches, too. It's like a gritty guy.
I think that fits the mold of a catcher.
It does, absolutely.
Kind of a grinder. Birds keep the middle infielders back with no outs. They need outs right now, more so than they need to cut off the runs. Gonzalez takes off for second. 0-2 sent in the air to deep center. Prado sliding back. He makes the catch. That's the first out of the inning. And the runner from third, Earhart, is in to score. So a sacrifice fly for Hudson White. The Birds will take that, though. They keep the other runner at first base. It's now 6-3. But Griffin, I think that's an ideal scenario. You get an out, you keep the double play in order.
Yeah. A couple of times now that the drive have traded outs for runs in this game.
And the game completely changes if there's a base hit right there and you bring home that next run without making an out. But the Birds, to their credit, have kept the scoring to a minimum. Here's a stolen base from Brian Gonzalez. He overslid the bag, but then got his foot back on before the tag. Well, he just continued to go on multiple pitches, fouled off, and then he finally goes on a pitch that is taken by Eduardo Lopez, the DH.
Yeah, looking like maybe the drive here, you know, starting to see how well running the base paths the Ironbirds have been. Trying to take some notes from them is, yeah, once again, Gonzalez goes, and that time.
And Mordan just threw him out trying to steal third. A nice tag by Carter Young. He got knocked to the seat of his pants, but Anunis Mordaunt put it right on that side of the bag, that inside part of the bag. Young applied the tag, and Gonzalez, who was uber-aggressive on the base pass right there, is caught stealing. So that helps the cause. 2 outs here for Lloyd.
Defense helping out Lloyd here. Fresh start here.
Now a ground ball out to second. Should end the inning. Estrada has it over to first, inning over. Nice job by Daniel Lloyd to work out of a jam and limit the damage. The drive do put up 2 runs. They did it on 2 hits, but the Ironbirds avoided that big hit. And we'll go to the bottom of the sixth with the Birds still up 3. 6-3 in favor of the Birds. Stay locked in on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Ironbirds 6, drive 3, home half of the sixth inning here in Aberdeen. Mordaunt, Hodo, and Romero, the bottom three in the order, due up against left-hander Jeremy Wu Yelland. Daniel Lloyd gave up two runs on a couple of hits in the top of the sixth, but he limited the damage, and the Birds got out of the inning still up 3. So here is Mordaunt, who brought home a run with an RBI ground out his first time up today. He is 0 for 2, and the first pitch from Wu Yelland misses, and the count is 1-0.
Feels like it always happens that way. A guy makes a nice play in the field. Mordaunt with a nice caught stealing in the top half of the inning. Ends up leading off the home half here.
Popped up onto the concourse third base side. And when, as a catcher, when you make a big-time defensive play like that, showing off the arm, I think that has to give you some confidence going into the batter's box the next inning. I know it did for me. You know,
yeah.
Look, it's hard throwing out runners, whether a guy gets a good jump. You know, a lot has to go right to throw out an attempted base stealer.
Yeah, and they go hand in hand. When you're confident defensively, you know, that confidence can definitely spill over, even if you're in a little bit of a slump offensively. I know Mordaunt is, he hasn't struggled, but it's been a slow start to, since getting called up from low A in Delmarva. Had a good game last night, though, right?
Yeah, two doubles last night, drove in a run.
Yeah, everything could be clicking all of a sudden.
1-2 pitch, a little high, 2-2. And I know, like, when I played catcher throughout most of my baseball career, I knew that if I wasn't swinging the bat well and I was a little frustrated at the plate, I knew that I could still impact the game defensively because the catcher is involved in every single play of the game. 2-2, tried to check his swing, but Wayne went around, so he is down on strikes. And that's a punch out for Wu Yelland, his second. But whether it's just calling a good game or blocking the ball in the dirt, throwing out attempted base stealers, just directing traffic behind the dish, you know you can impact the game. Where it's tougher as maybe, let's say, as an outfielder. When you're struggling with the bat, you know, you could be out in the outfield for innings and
right.
not have anything hit in your direction, and you're just kind of like, well, I'm just here today.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely, certainly vastly different mentalities for every single guy on the diamond.
So one out, no one on. Here's Doug Hodo. Birds up 3.
Speaking of good defense, Doug Hodo. Helping to throw out, what was that, Brian Gonzalez early back in the second inning.
Yeah, that was big time because
it was
a scoreless game at the time. You know, leadoff guy, doubles, you're thinking runner at second, no outs. He tried to stretch it into 3. Could be a completely different game had he either made it or stayed at second. That pitch is
outside.
Yeah,
good eye from Hodo there.
Hodo with a single and a walk today. Scored a run. He's stolen a bag. I think the sun's trying to come out right now.
And an outfield assist as well. Hodo just filling up the stat sheet everywhere today.
He's the fill-up-the-stat-sheet kind of guy. He's a very underrated player in terms of an all-around skill set. He just goes about his business out there. Traditional center fielder who has played a lot of corner outfield in Aberdeen.
Not too unsurprising with the kind of abundance of center fielders that the Orioles have in the system.
2-2, breaking ball in for a called strike 3. That's a tough pitch right there. Back-to-back strikeouts for Wu Yelland. That brings up Romero. It's definitely a game where the Ironbirds don't want to get too comfortable and think that the lead they have is enough. I don't think they will.
No, especially not when you have a young team like this, obviously. Always wanting to go 1,000 miles an hour, foot on the gas. Especially when you get a guy like Romero, I was still looking for his first hit. He's going to be aggressive as we see.
Just as you say, he lines one to left field. So Noelbert Romero picks on a pitch up in the zone, and he gets a two-out base hit. So no 1-2-3 inning. And we'll go back to the top for Estrada. Always nice when the pregame interview guest finds himself on base with a knock. Back to the top for Aaron Estrada, who tripled home a run with two outs in the second, part of a four-run second inning for the Birds. They added two more in the fifth. Can they add some more here with two outs in the sixth? Romero leads off of first. Pitch outside to Estrada, 1-0. The Birds entered today's game just 2.5 games behind the Hudson Valley Renegades for first place in the North Division, which means they are 2.5 games out of a playoff spot with 18 to play after today. 1-0, that's low. Very manageable deficit in the standings to try to claw their way back from.
Yeah, lots of meaningful baseball ahead. Just to, you know, just to continue to add to the, you know, the fun for the guys here, and obviously the fun coming out to Ripken Stadium as well.
Strada takes another ball, 3-0.
In a playoff race, and you got guys that are, you know, working really hard and obviously giving it their all and putting on a very entertaining product as well. It's stealing bases definitely makes baseball much more exciting. It's been nice to see that at the major league level as well, seeing the uptick in stolen bases.
Right. Station-to-station baseball and kind of stagnant baseball where you're waiting for singles and homers and mm-hmm. walks, that's no fun. I mean, stealing bases and what the Ironbirds do, guys are consistently in motion. That, like you said, that's just fun baseball.
And that's what I think kind of, you know, what we saw from the drive that in the last inning, the first five innings, you know, the drive were kind of looked like they were just playing that kind of station-to-station baseball. They finally got some guys on in the sixth inning and started moving them around and, you know, got them a few runs.
Pitches outside to Estrada, so he walks with two outs. That puts runners at first and second with two down.
And definitely makes, makes every single game feel like it is certainly still up for grabs, no matter what the deficit is. If you're able to get guys on base, and as we've talked about, put that pressure on the other team, force them to make a play.
Looks like that is it for Jeremy Wu Yelland. Greenville manager Iggy Suarez takes the baseball from his left-handed reliever. He's going to make a change. So Wu Yelland goes an inning and two-thirds out of the bullpen. And we finally have a right-hander coming in for Greenville. So the line is not closed on Wu Yelland. He's responsible for both runners on base. But we'll let you know who the new pitcher is after another quick break here on the broadcast. Birds lead 6-3, bottom six, two outs and two on. Stay locked in on the Birds Broadcast Network. Birds lead the drive 6-3, bottom six. New pitcher is right-hander Adam Smith for Greenville. First and second, two gone. Here is Tomas Sosa, the left-handed hitting outfielder. Bryce Bonin, it's not Adam Smith, it's Bryce Bonin in there. Looked at the wrong guy on the score sheet. So Bryce Bonin is on for the second time this series.
I can take the blame for that one, Mike, because I looked at him too, and I said, "Yeah, that's Adam Smith." So you know,
he was up in the pen earlier, and I forgot that Bonin was up after him. 1-0, that's downstairs to Sosa. 2-0. Seven hits for the Birds, six for the drive. Birds lead it 6-3. Bonin, 25 years old, from Webster, Texas, played his college ball at Texas Tech. Third-round pick by the Reds in 2020. 2-0, Sosa flicks it foul, third base side, 2-1.
Yeah, so certainly some life to the arm for Bonin here. Looks like he's sitting about mid-90s right now, lower to mid-90s right now.
Spent obviously the entire year with Greenville, 4.32 ERA, number's not bad, 19. This is appearance number 19 for him. Bonin just stepped off right there. Both runners a little antsy right there,
yeah.
Dancing off the bags.
Looks like they might have caught the sign there from Aberdeen, knowing that the double steal coming. See if they can't slow him a little bit.
2-1. Sosa takes low and away. 3-1. Well, Griffin, it was two outs, no one on. Now it's two outs, two on, and the count's 3-1 on Sosa with Prado looming on deck. Another two-out scoring opportunity.
Yeah, we've seen Sosa. If he just puts the ball in play, he's able to find a way on last time. Hit a hard hit ball to second that got away.
3-1 in
from Lugo. And then he really kind of kick-started that little rally that we saw an inning ago in the fifth. Stealing second base and third base.
Yeah, that was big at the time, and I don't think we really expected to see him swipe two bags in the inning. He kind of picked his spots really well. Here's the 3-2, two-out pitch. Fly ball to straightaway center. Blaise went back a step. Now he is in, and he makes the catch, and the inning is over. So the Birds put two on with two outs, but that is it. No runs on one hit, no errors, and the two men left on. We've played six here in Aberdeen. The Birds still lead at 6-3. We'll go to the top of the seventh when we come back on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Ironbirds over the drive, top of the seventh inning on a nice Sunday afternoon for a ball game here in Aberdeen, Maryland. Daniel Lloyd back to work. He gets Chacon, De Leon, and Montero, the bottom three in the drive order. First pitch from Lloyd. He gets a swing and a miss. Good pitch there.
Yeah, some off speed from Lloyd that time. Trying to bounce back after letting up two runs in his first inning of work in the sixth.
Fastball, cutter, changeup, slider. That's the four-pitch mix that Lloyd has. Here's a chopper to third. Young races up on it, throws to first, and that's out number one. So a nice job by Lloyd as the Birds look to throw up a zero here in the seventh. Always love a quick out. Well, Griffin, we talked about some of the work that you've done with Glenn Clark Radio and you and Glenn interviewing some Ironbirds players so far this season, and you've had a lot of them on, even guys who started the year here and are now up in Double-A Bowie. Do you have a favorite interview from this season?
I think I do. Recency bias might play a fact in it, but we did have Kyle Verbitsky on this week, and he's just really a really incredible guy. I know I talked to you about him off air briefly, and just he's very knowledgeable. He's always gives such thoughtful answers about whatever it is that you want to ask him about. It sounds like, I mean, you could talk to him about really anything, obviously. The conversation is focused on baseball, but yeah, you can get in certainly something deep with him if you wanted to, and just he's got such a strong mentality for this, and he's a really easy guy to root for once you get to talk to him for even just a couple of minutes. Just, you know, such an interesting story too. You know, he'd been starting games a year ago, and now this season, I believe he started in Bowie this season. Things didn't really go all too well in Bowie at Double-A, came back down here, and, you know, he gave a great answer where he was, you know, just going to make the best of it, obviously, and he realized, he's not coming back down here to rot away, was the way he put it. He's just going to work on things, and he's been very, very, very good down here in that relief role and kind of embracing it and getting used to, doing a lot of different things. That was just kind of the gist of the conversation. He's closed out some games. He's done a little bit of middle to long relief, some short relief coming in jams.
Snap throw to first from Mordaunt, runner back. Runner at first with one out here in the top of the seventh. Birds up three.
Obviously has that starter experience as well. So you have Kyle Verbitsky, a really interesting guy to talk to.
That's a great answer. And to be honest, I think I expected that to be your answer, especially since it was a recent interview that you and Glenn did with him. But, Kyle's as good of a guy as you're going to find anywhere. Runner takes off. Here's the throw to second a little bit late. And De Leon holds the bag. Pitch was a strike, so 1-1 on Montero. But Kyle just has a great perspective on the balance between baseball and real life and all that. And, not that baseball's not real life, but just baseball and the things in life off the field, I should say.
Yeah.
And, just consistently authentic answers to anything you ask him. And it's great, as broadcasters like we are, when we do interviews, sometimes with a certain player, you have to really ask a thought-provoking question, one where they can't just say yes or no or give you a very boring answer to get a good answer out of them. But with Kyle and a lot of guys here, Creed Willems is another one that comes to mind, certain guys. But with Kyle, you can just ask anything. It doesn't even necessarily have to be in the form of a question, and you're going to get a good conversation out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Creed's a good one to mention, too. We did have Creed on, not the very start, but, early on, the first couple weeks of the season. Creed is obviously just a great human being, and he brings a lot to this team. He's obviously, and gives some candid answers, he's been in pro baseball now since 2021, drafted in 2021. And he spent the majority of his time in Aberdeen here at High A. Hasn't really had a chance to move. Part of that could, just be that there's a lot of great catching prospects in the Orioles system. Start when he got here, Adley was still considered a prospect. Samuel Basayo's obviously been a household name if you're an Orioles fan. Some catchers are ahead of him that kind of have him blocked right now. But, he's just given some candid answers about, understanding what his role is down here and, just continuing to work. So, yeah, Creed's a good one. They've all been really, really fun guys to talk to.
0-1 pitch fouled away from Lugo, the leadoff man. Counts 0-2. Lloyd just picked up a strikeout. That is his first of the game. And now he's looking for the ender here in the top of the seventh. And that's one thing that I've noticed in my entire tenure here with the Ironbirds. That everybody I've interviewed has had so many good things to say. Everybody's so nice, and these guys are – there's just a lot of good people in this organization.
Yep, yes, and you can see the organization isn't just scouting, players and athletes. Obviously, if you're an A-plus athlete, that's going to go a long way. But it shows that they take the time to really get to know these guys too.
Yeah. Count is 1-2 on Lugo, and – you can tell with certain guys how much they appreciate doing the interviews and how happy they are to be a part of the interview. Kyle is always so happy to do the interviews. And another guy that comes to mind is, Doug Hodo. I did a couple interviews with him recently, one for the upcoming episode of All Mic'd Up that can be found on my YouTube channel within the next couple weeks. Guys just, always saying thank you and, happy. They're excited to get interviewed. Elio Prado is another one. Always thanks me for having him on, where I was thank you for giving me the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that. It's really cool to see these guys embrace it. 2-2 outside, 3-2, because part of the goal of these interviews is to, tell who they are, tell their stories.
And
let people know who they are, because there's so many guys in this minor league system. You want to show who they are as people, not just as players and prospects.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up too. Just the thoughtfulness that they have. Just always very, very thankful that we're taking our time. But we're obviously, it feels like we should be even more thankful. These are professional athletes that sometimes are working through things just to not pick on Verbitsky, but use Verbitsky as an example. He's a guy who got demoted. That's just got to call it what it is. He got demoted earlier in the season. He very easily could have just said, no, I don't really want to talk about, what's going on right now. He's got he talked about it in the interview with us, which you can find if you just Google Kyle Wroblewski, Glenn Clark Radio. His father's sick right now, and he gave us a very, very thoughtful answer about about things that are going on at home, which was it was a really cool story with Wroblewski, just because he came over to the organization in the Cole Irvin trade.
Yep.
So from Oakland, so he was out in Oakland, about as far away from here. He's a PA native. He's from just outside Philly, in Medea, PA, and kind of everything kind of worked out because his dad got sick, right around the same time that he got traded over here, Aberdeen, about an hour away from home for him. So things, obviously you never want anything bad to happen to a family member, but he kind of was able to be as close to home as he possibly could.
Right, he's across the country and now mm-hmm. he's back here, which I've talked to Kyle a lot about that.
Yeah.
It's first and third for the drive now. The snap throw down to second. Willems knocked it down, but DeLeon got to third on it. Count is 1-1 on Will Turner. Runner at first takes off. Here's the throw down for Mordaunt. Another good throw. The tag safe.
Great throw from Mordaunt there.
And he's doing everything yeah. he can behind the dish today.
And these the driver getting some really good jumps on their takes to second base here.
So second and third with two down. Lloyd looking to work through the inning. No runs home in the inning. Two walks for Lloyd, but he can get out of it with a zero on the board. 2-1, fly ball to deep center field. Prado on his horse, still going back straight away, makes the catch shy of the track, and the inning is over. Elio Prado ran it down, and Griffin, I don't think there was ever a doubt watching him glide after that baseball.
No, yeah, he didn't even, because you can tell when guys think that ball is over their head, they're going to start sprinting. Prado had that one all the way, a great grab by Prado, and Lloyd able to get a little bit of traffic on the base pass, but he's able to work out of it. Still a three-run lead for the Ironbirds.
We'll go to the home half of the seventh here in the Dean. Birds up 6-3. Stay locked in with us. 6-3, Ironbirds over the Drive. Bottom of the seventh inning here in Aberdeen. Game six of a six-game series between these two teams. Birds looking to finish it off with a W. Prado, Willems, and Young against the right-hander Bryce Bonin. And we will see if the Birds can get some more runs. Prado's had a tough day. He's 0 for 3, but has played a really nice center field. Griffin, how about that catch he made gliding to deep center field to make that grab to get Lloyd out of a tough situation?
Yeah, made it look effortless back out there in center field. That looked like a very deep fly ball. Had two runners on. It looked like it was going to get a much closer ball game. But, yeah, Prado stayed composed, and he tracked that one down rather easily. And, yeah, right on cue, obviously going to lead off the inning, of course.
Off the turf over to the first baseman, Gonzalez, on one hop. He picks it up, and Prado is retired. So a couple of pitches and one out here, three unassisted on the putout. That brings up Creed Willems. Well, Griffin, before the break, we were talking about some of your favorite interviews with Press Box Online and Glenn Clark Radio this year, interviewing Ironbirds players, whether it's guys that are still here or now up with the AA Bowie Bay Sox. Let me ask you this, as Willems awaits the first pitch from Bonin, swing and a miss at a changeup, it's 0-1. For any of the interviews that you did, was there one that you learned something like really surprising about a guy? Like going into the interview, you're like, wow, I would not have expected that about him.
I mean, I guess, you know, we try to, I guess, do some of the research for each guy, you know, going in. I'm trying to think. I guess, I mean, Zach Fruit was a fun one to talk to. He's got some really live stuff, and, you know, it was fun listening to him kind of break down just like the arsenal of pitches, and you know, just, you know, it's a really nice glimpse into what these guys are really working on behind the scenes on a daily basis. And, you know, he talked about how he added like around almost three pitches this season. I can't remember exactly which ones they were, but, you know, he really talked about, you know, what he was using and, you know, how he's trying to make them work off of one another, on any given day, you know, trying to do something different each day. You know, depending on what the scouting report could be, a really good answer about, you know, how they break down, you know, going into each start. Creed's another guy who, you know, you look at his stature as well, as it unfortunately goes down swinging here, but you look at his stature, you know, don't always think, oh, that's a baseball player right away. You know, he plays catcher and first base, but, you know, he gave us some really honest answers as well about, you know, what he works on in the off season. You know, he's the first couple of seasons he's seen his numbers decline, you know, as the year goes on, and he, you know, really wants to focus on his health, you know, staying at a really good playing weight. He gave us some really honest answers about that. So that was really cool to hear from Creed and Zach. And, you know, I want to make sure I try to highlight everybody, because, you know,
Carter Young rips one to right field, around first, heading for second, a head first dive in, and he is there with a double. It's a three hit day for Carter Young. He has batted lefty all day. This was his first at-bat against a right-handed pitcher, but he is swinging it well. Three hits for him, and the Birds have a runner in scoring position with two outs.
Yeah, he's got this one. definitely something to continue to work on here. That left-handed hitting doing wonders right now for Carter Young.
Yeah, I mean, if he sticks with just the left-handed swing, I mean, of course, I think it's a lot less, you know, it's tough for switchers. They got to work on both sides of the plate. And, you know, one side may be your better side. And for Young, it's clearly his left side. Here's the first pitch to Arias, the shortstop. He takes high. But for Young, with the three hits today, take a look at some of his season totals in the multi-hit department. That is his 12th multi-hit game. It's his third three-hit game. He is making some serious strides late in the season. And too early to say if he will abandon that right-handed swing, especially because he just did face a right-handed pitcher here, although he did swing lefty three times against a lefty to start the day. But, look, we've talked about it, constantly working on some things and figuring some things out, and maybe it could just be a one-day thing. We don't know. I'll have to talk to Carter this week about it, but could be that he was just frustrated hitting righty against left-handed pitching and decided to switch it up. Hot shot to the left side. That's foul.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe something that he definitely probably came into the day planning to do, because you mentioned maybe it was something that he just saw against Dalton Rogers he wanted to work on. But, yeah, since they brought in two lefties back-to-back, he hit both lefties from the left side. And, you know, maybe it is something, you know, just getting more used to batting from the left side. It's just going to help his hitting against off righties as well that much more. Obviously roping a double in his first plate appearance against a righty today.
Here's the 1-1 to Arias. Takes high. Count is 2-1. Bird's up 6-3, bottom 7, looking for more. And I think back to what I've seen at the big league level with switch hitters at some point abandoning one side or the other and sticking with one. You mentioned Cedric Mullins. And, I mean, this isn't an example of a switch hitter abandoning hitting from one side, but just against a certain pitcher, changing it up. I remember you know, growing up in the Philly area, watching a lot of Shane Victorino play. Switch hitter. He would bat right-handed against knuckleballers because he just felt more comfortable from the right side seeing the knuckleball. But he, again, against any non-knuckleballer, which is most of the pitchers you face, almost all of them, he'd, you know, the traditional switch hitter splits. 2-2 pitch. Arias rips one foul down the right field line, but that one had some carry on it.
Yeah, and it's definitely something interesting, it'll be interesting to hear what Carter says about that decision, how they finally came to that conclusion for whether it's today only, whether it's moving forward. Obviously going to be in the conversation moving forward after what he's done today. But another one that just recently comes to mind, I think Robbie Grossman, sometimes he's a switch hitter for the Rangers, but sometimes he will occasionally bat righty on righties, because I know when they were in Camden Yards a few weeks ago, he hit right-handed off a righty.
Well, Arias goes down on strikes, chased a high fastball from Bonin, and the inning is over. No runs on a hit, no errors, one man left in scoring position for the Birds here in the bottom of the seventh. We've played seven here in Aberdeen. The Birds, who have led the entire way, lead it 6-3. We'll head to the top of the eighth inning after another break on MILB-TV and Bally Live. We move to the top of the eighth inning here from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Ironbirds 6, Drive 3. Daniel Lloyd is out for another inning in relief. He's allowed 2 runs in 2 innings so far. He got a big shutdown 7th inning, and now he gets Earhart, Gonzalez, and White, 3-4-5 in the top of the eighth. Drive down to their final 6 outs. Birds rocking a 3-run advantage. We'll see what Earhart can do. He has a single, a stolen base, and a run today. He is 1-for-3. Overall, Griffin, it's been a really well-pitched game from the Ironbirds, and although they have only scored in 2 innings, they've scored in bunches, and the timely hitting has been big.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. Looks like they're going to may have the same plans that they had for Lloyd that they had the other night, where they're just going to let him go as long as they possibly can, see if he can't close out the game. A little bit of a rocky start for him. Obviously, the 2 runs in the 6th inning, he surrendered a few walks now, but if he's able to continue to pound the zone here, he's certainly in a good position to try to close things out. Especially if, as you mentioned, if this offense can't get on base, if they get on base, it seems like that pressure really builds on the defense.
2-strike pitch up and in, counts 2-2. Lloyd just threw his 47th pitch of the afternoon. And to provide some context, he threw 59 pitches in 4 innings on Tuesday. And not that he can't go more than that. But, of course, a guy who's still working his way back from an injury We'll see what happens. I think the goal is at least to get him through this inning.
Swing absolutely, and that'll help.
That will absolutely help. Two strikeouts for Daniel Lloyd. He gets Earhart here, and that brings up Gonzalez with one out and no one on.
Gonzalez has been a tough out today so far for Aberdeen. Obviously, had that double early, ended up gunned down at third base. But, yeah, he's been a fun player to watch today from a neutral standpoint. He's trying to steal bases as well once he gets on.
First pitch outside. Gonzalez has some big-time offensive numbers, 17 homers, 51 driven in this year.
Wow.
He has an OPS of 815, and then he also has 12 stolen bases too, so it's not just the power. 1-0, grounded foul into the third base dugout of the drive.
Especially from a third baseman, too. Those are pretty impressive, especially the stolen base numbers.
A double and an RBI single today. He wanted that triple back in the second inning, and that kind of changed the trajectory of this game. Here's a ground ball out to short. Arias is there. Strong throw across the diamond. I mean, man, look at the arm on him. That's two outs here in the eighth inning.
Yeah, just the athleticism getting shown off again. You know, it does feel like a showcase anytime a ball is hit into play. It's which guy is going to make a play. You know, even though I think, even looking at Sosa out in left field, he's only really had one ball hit to him, but it was the first pitch of the game, and we didn't really mention it at the time, but he had to cover a lot of ground to track down that fly ball that was hit deep in the left center. And it's just every single guy. Great athlete.
Yeah, we're talking doing their part. Great first steps, and whether it's going in on a ball, back on a ball, lateral movement, showing off range, and then, of course, arm strength. Here's the 1-0 to White as Lloyd looks for a 1-2-3 inning. The guy that has really stood out to me this year in terms of infield arm strength is Jalen Vasquez. When he's at shortstop, man, it's fun to watch him throw across the diamond. And he can go deep at the position in the hole at short and still get a speedy runner because the arm is elite. I love seeing him come, and he's not playing today, but I love seeing him come across the bag at short, taking that flip from the second baseman and just firing a bullet over to first.
Just such a abundance, really, of talent in this Orioles system. Got to make you feel good as an Orioles fan. I know you view things from a neutral standpoint, but, you know, always fun for me. You know, growing up an Orioles fan, obviously cover the team, too. Very lucky to do that. But, yeah, always fun to come down and, you know, just see the guys and be like, yeah, it's very easy to come down and, you know, kind of fall in love with a guy, you know?
Fastball top of the zone. Lloyd picks up his second punch out of the inning, third of the game. He's set down four in a row. He works a 1-2-3 eighth inning. If that's it for him, that's a great end to his day. But maybe we'll see him for the ninth. But either way, the Birds go to the home half of the eighth, hoping it's their last turn at bat today. 6-3 Aberdeen. We'll head to the home eighth after this on the Birds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the eighth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Bird 6, drive 3. Well, what turned out to be a dry day in terms of, you know, rain in the area has pushed back, but also we've got some sun now as Anutis Mordaunt takes a pitch inside from right-hander Bryce Bonin. It's Mordaunt followed by Hodo and Romero, the bottom three in the Birds order. But Griffin, it's turned out to be a really nice day as we'll have a stoppage of play here as the baseball got out of the Ironbirds bullpen onto the field. But the fact that we've got some sun piercing through right now, I mean, that's huge.
Beautiful, beautiful day. Definitely a little bit ugly this morning. We were a little worried if they'd even be able to get the game in today. But yeah, it's turned out to be a very beautiful day. A little humid, but yeah, still can't ask for much better.
Yeah, it's one of those,
about baseball.
Those humid afternoons where like the papers, in the broadcast booth are getting a little. You can feel the humidity. Like it doesn't have that paper crunch to it when you ball up, but it just kind of squishes together now. It was the same thing last night after the game. I was getting some papers, you know, to bunch up and throw in the trash can. I'm like, you're not even making that paper crunch. It's so humid. Ball and a strike on Mordaunt. Takes a strike on the inner half. It's 1-2. Hoping this is the final trip to the plate for the Birds today. They can close it out in the top of the ninth. Right-hander Preston Johnson's up in the Birds' bullpen. Looks like he might get the ninth inning.
Always interesting to kind of see what maybe pitchers think about that. You know, obviously been a big conversation, you know, how well pitchers can grip the baseball. You know, having a little bit of extra moisture sometimes goes a long way for them. Obviously, too much moisture isn't always good, but if they can get a little bit of extra sweat in there, sometimes helps them with those rotations on the baseball.
2-2 upstairs. It's 3-2 on Mordaunt, who had to bend back out of the way of that pitch from Bryce Bonin. Well, Griffin, the Birds lost each of the last four games of this series. They are winning here today. Here's the 3-2 fouled away up around the press box area. I think that was into the press box. Hopefully everybody's all good. And I had guests on the broadcast each of the last three nights, and the Ironbirds put up a combined four runs for those guests, all losses. You're in line for a win today, and you've got six runs on the board, which is going to throw you up towards the top of my guest in the booth runs leaderboard this year.
Well, I'm glad that I was able to bring a little bit of luck. It wasn't obviously a promising start to the day. We mentioned the weather. Another one up towards the press box.
Yeah, kind of duck and cover over there.
But I'm glad the Suns decided to come out. I'm glad they got the bats going early, and obviously coming in, I was well aware of the prestigious stolen base numbers. I'm glad I got to see plenty on display on the base paths as well. I feel like I'm getting the full Aberdeen Ironbirds experience of some really strong pitching performances as well.
It really is the full experience. Five stolen bases today, six runs on the board, eight hits.
Some great defensive plays as well.
Yeah, Prado the dive and grab in center. Hodo the strong throw from the right field corner into Estrada over to third base for Young. And the pitching's been really solid. But taking a look at my guest in the booth runs leaderboard. So it was supposed to be going into the year, the person with the most runs scored in any game would be at the top of the list, and wins would be a tiebreaker over people with the same, you know, amount of runs, wins and losses. Swing and a miss. Mordaunt goes down on strikes for out number one in the eighth. But when Kevin Ostreicher from the Locked On Ravens podcast and the Ryan Ripken show joined me on Friday, July 19th, the Ironbirds threw a no-hitter. So even though the Ironbirds scored just four runs in that game, he is at the top because the Birds threw a no-hitter, a historic no-hitter. Eric Arditi from Barstool Sports.
I suppose that's fair. Yeah, no-hitter definitely quite impressive. Yeah. That's quite the opportunity there for big KO.
12 runs for Arditi. Swing and a miss from Hodo counts 0-1. And then
of course, Eric comes in and gets a hammer of a game.
Yeah, Justin and Zach from the Baltimore Battery put up 8, and they got a win. Ryan Leshko from WBAL, who used to work here with the Ironbirds, he put up 7 runs in a win. But right now you are tied for, here's a ground ball to short, gobbled up by De Leon over to first to get the speedy Hodo. 2 up, 2 down.
Man, now you got me really rooting for an extra run here just so I can try to separate myself from this tie.
In terms of most runs, you're tied for 4th in the run department with Valerie Preactor from WBAL and Jim Duquette from MLB Network Radio, as well as Brendan Mortensen from Masson. So there's a four-way tie there with 6 runs.
It's good company. I'll take that, though.
Yeah, I mean, you're already in the top half, the top third of the leaderboard. You know, we'll see if the Birds can scratch across another one here. A bunt attempt from Romero. He pulls back, did not go, and the count is 1-0. So I think what we need is Romero to find a way on base here, Estrada to
yeah, then
bring him home.
Once the lineup resets, you never know what could happen.
1-0 pitch. Romero chops it foul. It's 1-1. So after Kevin came in here and was a part of Ironbird's history when the Birds threw the no-hitter, I renamed my guest in the booth runs leaderboard the Kevin Ostreicher guest in the booth runs leaderboard. We thought about renaming the ballpark. But we'll go with this for now.
Yeah, that's a, you know, it's a strong name on the ballpark. Let's see, Ostreicher Stadium. Not sure. You know, Kevin's a great guy, obviously. Comes on the fan all the time. Obviously knows his Raven stuff very, very well. But yeah, I don't know. I think Rifkin Stadium certainly has a very, very nice ring to it.
Yeah, of course.
Well known throughout the state.
So we won't change the name on the ballpark. We'll change the guest in the booth runs leaderboard for now.
Okay.
Romero,
I suppose that's fair.
To right field. Earhart's camped under it, makes the catch, and the inning is over. Well, Griffin, I think you're going to be stuck at six runs, but the Birds are in line to win this with three more outs, and that's what matters the most here in the Dean. So 1-2-3 bottom of the eighth for the Birds. We'll go to the top of the ninth and see if Preston Johnson can close out the drive. Birds 6, drive 3. Stay locked in on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Top of the ninth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Michael Mark Cantonini and Griffin Bass with you on the call. 6-3 Birds lead. Griffin, you are in line for a win right now as my guest color commentator. Birds looking to get three outs before the drive, get three runs, and right-hander Preston Johnson is on to close it out. But you're sitting in a good position right now, Griff.
Yeah, it feels good. It feels good. And, you know, I mean, if the Ironbirds obviously see that they're 1-0 with Griffin Bass in the booth, then, you know, I will be happy to try and, you know, make it out to as many more games as I possibly can and you know, keep the win streak going, of course. I mean, you know, I want to be a team guy for sure.
Looking to find a way into the playoffs, so we might need that. Might have to add that to my game notes, record
right
when Griffin is in attendance. First pitch from Johnson is in for a strike to Eduardo Lopez with Juan Chacon and Framy De Leon to follow. 6-7-8 in the drive order. Birds looking to close it out and get back in the win column. There's a swing and a miss on an upper fastball, and the count's 0-2. Johnson has a four-seam fastball, a cutter, a changeup, a curveball, and a sweeper to work with. He's got it all. He's set on the mound. And now his 0-2, high and away. Count's 1-2. Talking about favorite interviews from this year, I really enjoyed interviewing Preston for episode 8 of All Mic'd Up, which is available on my YouTube channel, Iron Birds Fans, if you want to check that out. But Preston's a small-town Mississippi kid with a really cool story, 1-2 outside. Loves life on the farm, that small-town life. Most of his family is only a few-minute drive away from each other in small-town Mississippi. If you guys ever get a chance to get Preston on, that's a good one.
All right, I will keep that in mind, certainly. Always looking for, obviously, fun stories.
2-2, smoke right down the middle, a strikeout for Johnson. And a driver down to their final two outs. Mid-90s fastball right there.
Yeah, and a good live arm as well, it looks like, from Preston. And, you know, not unique, no, however, in being, you know, from SEC country, Mississippi guy, Preston. The Orioles obviously have a very, they certainly have a type. You know, just looking for athletes. And, you know, SEC certainly known for their prowess on the baseball diamond. Certainly makes sense to continue to target guys from that region.
Counts 0-1 on Juan Chacon. Soft liner to left. That's down for a base hit. Could be two. Chacon around first, heading for second, and he pulls in there with a double. So a two-bagger there, but that ball was not very hard hit. Looked like he was a little out in front of it. Johnson made a good pitch, but credit to Chacon for sending that one into the left field corner.
Yeah, 76 miles per hour on that breaking pitch there from Johnson. Definitely a lot of variability in his pitch speed, 93 on the strikeout, and then 76 on the first pitch here. Certainly make it tough for a hitter. Sometimes, though, if the hitter guesses right, they can get a good result, just like Chacon did there. This is the second save opportunity of the season for Johnson. First one came back on May 17th.
Runner at second doesn't mean a whole lot right now. De Leon flips one foul out of play to the left side. Count is 0-1. Birds up 6-3 with one out in the top of the ninth, looking to wrap up this series with a W. And I think what's cool about Preston's story, mentioned small-town Mississippi kid, he starts his college career at the JUCO level, and then a year later, he's pitching in Game 2 of the College World Series Finals against powerhouse Vandy. He picked up the win in that game to help force a Game 3, and then Mississippi State won Game 3 to beat Vandy and become College World Series champion. So, I mean, to go from JUCO ball to winning the College World Series in Omaha the next year, that's a really cool story.
That is a heck of a run there for Preston Johnson. And, you know, it's, you know, what makes baseball, you know, minor league baseball, to be more specific, but baseball as a whole, you know, just so compelling, so much fun. Every single guy, you know, has a unique story, something that, you know, you can't make up, and you really can't come up with on your own, you know, pitching at the JUCO level of baseball and then suddenly on one of the biggest stages you can possibly be within a year.
Pitch fouled back there from De Leon, counts 2-2. In that interview, and in all mic'd up interviews, I ask these guys questions about their teammates. I do a teammate question round, and one of the questions that I asked Preston was, which teammate would do the best in a competitive eating contest? And he asked, he's like, can I say myself? Because he likes to eat. And I said, yeah, but I'm like, we're talking about not just eating, but eating fast, like competition style, you know, like the hot dog eating contest and things like that. And he's like, oh, I wouldn't win that one. Speed's not his thing. He just likes to eat. 2-2, that's low in the dirt. And the count is full on Framy De Leon. It was just so funny. It was such a candid reaction. When I said that, I'm like, we're talking about eating fast here. And he said, eating fast, oh, I wouldn't win that one.
he's the guy when you go to the pie eating contest, everyone's, you know, face first into the pie. He's got a, you know, a fork and knife, and he's eating it very slow, just enjoying the apple pie, you know.
I know a lot of guys on this roster like to eat. I mean, he doesn't. 3-2, grounded foul into the Birds' dugout. Heads up. Count stays full, but
certainly as an athlete, you know, most of these guys probably used to eating a lot.
Yeah, well, I talk about it all the time on the broadcast. I mean, Iron Birds fans know at this point. I mean, whoever tunes into the broadcast on a nightly basis, daily basis, knows how much I love food, and I talk about it all the time.
Yeah, I love that. You know, you're giving me the quick tour of the press box. That was definitely the first thing that you mentioned, you know.
Food.
Yes, the food. And you know, you were right. There's certainly a great spread always out here.
Fly ball to left. Sosa has it. Took charge out there, made the catch. So the driver down to their final out. Well, we do it big here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. And, yeah, I mean, just as grown up in an Italian family, Italian on both sides of the family, everybody's always worried. It's like, did you eat? You know, did you have enough to eat? You know, we've got food here. What do you want to eat? So when I have guests here, that's one of the first things I mention. I'm like, oh, yeah, food's provided. It's going to be over here. You can get more out there. This is where you can get it. This is what's being served.
And I very much appreciate that. I very much appreciate that. If I wasn't able to show it today, my apologies, but I do appreciate the hospitality today. It's been a very fun experience.
Yeah, man, it's been great having you on
at Rifkin Stadium.
Trying to finish off this W for you. Birds lead at 6-3 with two outs in the top of the ninth inning. 0-1 the count on Juan Montero, the nine-hole hitter and the designated hitter. 0-1 pitch, just off the plate. I'm looking at the scoreboard right now, and just popped into my head. He kind of looks like Alex Verdugo a little bit.
I definitely see that. Yeah, Verdugo, former Red Sox. It looks like they almost, you know, are using the same pitcher.
It could be. They could be brothers, especially with the eye black on.
Yeah.
And the beard the way it is. 1-1 pitch coming up to Montero. Breaking ball in just a little bit high from Johnson. It's 2-1. Preston just came off the IL earlier this week, and he threw a scoreless inning in his return to the mound. He pitched the eighth inning in Wednesday night's loss. Strikeout, strikeout, ground out. Great to see Preston back out there. 2-1, fastball outside corner for a strike. It's 2-2. And now the Birds are one strike away from ending the four-game losing streak. And riding the ship heading into the off day tomorrow and then the six-game series against Winston-Salem here starting on Tuesday.
Yeah, Preston's looking very good. It looks like, you know, really since the calendar turned to June, he has been much more.
2-2, swing and a miss, and the ball game is over. The Ironbirds are back in the win column with a 6-3 win on a Sunday afternoon in the Dean. Johnson came in for the ninth inning, allowed a one-out double, but a flyout and a strikeout after that. And that's how the Birds get back in the win column. Great to see the Birds finish off the W and really put together a complete game. They led since the bottom of the second inning when they put up four. They never trailed. And it is sweet to see the Birds back in the win column here to end this series. Well, Griffin, we saw a lot of good things from this Ironbirds team today. And before we wrap it up with some final totals and a quick summary, what are your initial takeaways from the W?
I mean, I know I mentioned it, but it definitely felt like the full Aberdeen Ironbirds experience, and just a fun, you know, a fun team to watch. You know, win or lose, they look like a team that is going to be competitive. They're going to compete. They're going to play hard every single day. Fortunately, we're able to walk away with a W. Just the resilience as well. You know, four straight losses, that is never easy, no matter what level you're playing at, and able to, you know, just kind of shut that out. You know, this playing the same team as well 6 days in a row is always tough, and especially once you lose to them four times in a row. So very nice to see them get in the win column, end the weekend on a high note, as you mentioned. Just always a good day seemingly at Rifkin Stadium, especially with this current squad, and you know, it seems like the direction that the Orioles are moving, the Orioles organization is moving, kind of squad that you're going to really see moving forward. Guys that are, you know, even if really good athletes get, you know, promoted, they're going to get replaced with guys that are going to have the same, you know, similar abilities, and keeping the pressure on the other team, win or lose, trailing or ahead. Really good baseball. Fundamental baseball, great defense, strong pitching. We're able to end the game on a strikeout. Great stuff from Preston Johnson coming out to close the game. I mentioned he had a save opportunity, was not able to convert earlier in the season. Really nice to see him come through. And, this kind of second half of the season, he's been locked in and dialed in out of the bullpen.
Well, it's great when the Ironbirds don't have to bat in the bottom of the ninth. That always means good things. And the Birds get the W here today, 6-3. Well, it started with that four-run second inning for Aberdeen. Carter Young with a left-on-left bloop single to center to start it up. And then the Birds ended up putting up four runs on the board. Aaron Estrada tripled home a run with two outs in the inning. The Birds added two more runs in the fifth inning. Creed Willems, a two-out RBI double. Carter Young, a two-out RBI single. Young added a double later. It was only six runs for the Birds. That's all they needed. They did not score after the fifth. But the drive got their one run in the third. They picked up two in the fifth. That was it. But overall, timely hitting. They got the runs early. They scored in bunches when they did. And then Griffin, the pitching was really good. Tyler Burch in his season debut, working his way back from the IL, a scoreless inning. Trey Gibson, four innings of one-run ball. Daniel Lloyd allowed two runs in his first inning, but finished the game allowing just those two runs in three innings. And then Preston Johnson picked up his first save of the season with a scoreless ninth inning. So overall, just a big team win. And I think we were waiting for that, waiting for the offense to break out. It started in the bottom of the ninth inning last night. That momentum carried over today. And just great to see them put it all together here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, so encouraging to see, you know, as I keep mentioning, I'm an Orioles fan, cover the Orioles. It's so encouraging to see, you know, just where everything starts, and you can see that, you know, they continue to what they're working on is really fun to look at. And, you know, seeing big notable names, top 30 prospects in the Orioles system, like Bradfield and Trimble and Josenberger, you know, moving on, Etzel and Matt Horvath, obviously moving on to different teams, you know, and those guys getting quickly replaced and you know, guys that do the same things, and to know that the Orioles organization is gonna continue to be replenished with a lot of talent. And, you know, talking to you about, you know, getting to know the guys. We getting to know the guys on at Pressbox with Glenn Clark Radio. Getting to know the guys, just to get to know that, you know, they're great athletes, great players, and most of them, pretty much all of them, even better people as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. And getting to know who these guys are as people, but also seeing them become better baseball players, developing as players, and see the talent continue to replenish itself at this level. Whichever way that happens is always fun. Well, Ironbirds fans, we'll get you some final totals. In this one, with the win, the Birds improved to 58-56 overall. They are 24-24 in the second half. The Drive dropped to 54-60 overall. They are 28-20 in half number two. 6 runs on 8 hits, 2 errors for the Ironbirds. 3 runs on 7 hits, 3 errors for the Drive. Trey Gibson picks up the win in relief. He moves to 2-2. The loss goes to Dalton Rogers. He drops to 2-6. Preston Johnson picked up his first save of the season. Game was played in 2 hours and 39 minutes in front of 1,233 fans here this afternoon at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Well, a really fun day all the way around. The weather held up. Not only did it not rain, the sun came out for a little while, and we've got light blue skies off in the distance here in Aberdeen. Well, Griffin, like I ask all my guests before we part ways, what's next for you here with all the roles that you have, as we saw one kid just take out another one on the post-game Kids Run the Bases out on the diamond. But what's next for you with all that you're doing, especially with Glenn Clark Radio?
Yeah, well, Glenn and I will be on again tomorrow morning. We'll talk some Orioles. Ravens had a preseason game. Not a whole lot to really cover from breakdown from preseason. But, yeah, we'll talk plenty of Orioles as they continue this pennant chase. We're trying to get into the playoffs, certainly in a good position right now. So yeah, we'll be on, you know, just look up Pressbox on YouTube or look up Glenn Clark Radio on Google. We'll be on at 10 a.m. Live tomorrow. You can follow me on Twitter, Griffin_Bass, to see, you know, when my next play-by-play broadcast might be. I know high school football's around the corner. I do plenty of high school football, do plenty of college sports in the fall. So yeah, Best way to figure out what I'm doing next is probably to be to follow me on Twitter, Griffin_Bass. Yeah. So I appreciate you letting me do that, Mike.
Absolutely. I'm always letting everybody plug the social media. Follow him at Griffin_Bass. See what's going on with Pressbox Online and Glenn Clark Radio. Might need to mix in some Ironbirds talk and,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And break
Absolutely.
Down the broadcast. Let Glenn know that when he joins me next week, that he's got to come up with a win. He's got to have at least 6 runs to match you, so that'll be fun. But you are in the top third of my guests for this year in terms of runs, and you came away with a win. So I will tweet out an updated guest in the booth runs leaderboard within the next week or two once I get a chance to do that.
All right, we'll take it. We'll take that for sure every day of the week.
You're sitting in a good position here. Well, Ironbirds fans, that's not it for this homestand. An off day tomorrow, but the Birds are back at home on Tuesday night for Game 1 of 6. Against the Winston-Salem Dash, the high A affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. So Tuesday through Sunday for the second to last home series of the season for the Ironbirds. I will be back on air at 6:40 for the air show, and then 7:05 first pitch on Tuesday against the Dash. So stay tuned for that. Griffin, before we sign off, I really want to say thank you for you joining me. A blast from my end. I know you said you had a great time as well. Thanks for joining me, man. Looking forward to staying in touch and following what you're doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you very much for inviting me. Nothing better than some Sunday afternoon baseball, no matter where it is, no matter what level you're watching. So yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really did have a blast. It was great, and great to see that the Ironbirds got a win. So yeah, thanks a lot, Mike. Really appreciate it.
100%, man. Thanks for joining me. Well, for my outstanding production crew here in Aberdeen and my guest color commentator Griffin Bass, my name is Michael Marcantonini. Thanks for tuning in, Ironbirds fans. Thanks for flying with us. We appreciate the support as always. Talk to you on Tuesday night here in Aberdeen as the Birds look to start off the series against Winston-Salem with a win. Have a great rest of your Sunday, and as